you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Presentation.
That's the noise mix. Groan mix.
Sometimes you can say so much with so little. That's what I've discovered.
I wish I would learn that. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, and it is the 2nd of Blovember.
That's what I'm talking about. Maybe we'd like to hear more today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're in no hurry to cut this off. Lisa, what's she doing there? I can't even...
Well, she's
Lisa's trying not to
really
look because...
really hard and then swirling her tongue around the top of the piece of candy and sliding it up and down and, and sucking some more.
All right, stop it.
It's a candy cane, people.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Of course. Didn't I say that?
No.
Oh, sorry.
You whispered the word candy, I think.
I tried not to hear that part. That was well done, Lisa.
So we have that for Blovember, and I get this email from K-Rock listener Andy, who says, hello, I do not know if any of you read your K-Rock email. He sent it to Lisa and the King of Mexico and Bean and Ralph and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say that I have a great idea. We should call it Novembeard. For the month of November, everyone must grow a beard. So that would be cool if you spread it across K-Rock and its listeners.
That would be useful for Lisa, wouldn't it?
That'd be way better than Blovember.
Yeah, that's the worst idea officially ever.
Novembeard.
Novembeard. Come on, we need to get this guy on the phone.
And then slap him.
What? What are you doing? Lightning, why are you pointing to Psycho Mike?
Because he didn't shave and neither did I today. And I was at the beginning of Novembeard.
He got Dave too, that's a good point.
No, it's a bad idea, guys.
Is that why you didn't shave?
No, I'm not saying I did it on purpose. I'm just saying, look, maybe it's a trend that's taking over.
It's not.
Great, we're going to have a station full of mountain men by the end of the month.
You know how they say, you know how they say there are no bad ideas?
Yeah.
This is a bad idea. And I think we need to get Andy on the phone, and I think we need to slap him senseless.
I actually think they say there are no stupid questions.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
There are bad ideas, then.
Yeah, there are bad ideas.
Good, because
there are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Stupid people. Exactly. Okay, I got you. Yeah, this is Novembeard. I mean, really. If that comes to your head, don't you try to get it out as fast as possible because it's so not funny?
Tell someone around you that you trust.
He wants me,
get some feedback.
Us, he said it to all of us, he wants us to spread it to everyone on K-Rock so that all of the audience knows it's Novembeard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
Look,
exciting.
Jed the Fish is halfway to being a Wookiee anyway. The last thing he needs is more hair. I mean, seriously. Jed, what is going on with your hair anyway? I can't even figure it out. You're starting to look like a homeless woman.
I'm trying my best to look like George Washington on the quarter. I just haven't gotten around to shaving in the last couple of months. Carol Q.
Okay.
You guys should see his picture in the new K-Rock calendar.
Oh!
Have we mentioned the calendar yet?
I don't think we have, but I don't see any reason why we can't.
Okay. There is a K-Rock calendar this year, and Jed's pictures are positively scary.
Yeah, they are. You know what they look like? Honestly, I was thinking about this. Ever since I saw it, the image of Jed has been burned into my brain.
Right, me too.
They look like any number of mugshots at thesmokinggun.com.
Just like
a guy who's just dragged off the street, and he's disheveled, and he's disoriented, and they took his picture and put him right back in his cell. That's what it looks like.
Gary Busey, is that the famous one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Gary Busey, I think, was one of them. I think Nick Nolte is maybe the one you think of.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like Nick Nolte, but he's also got his finger in a socket, and he's being electrocuted. That's right. What Jed looks like at the exact same moment. And it scares me. And I know Jed, and he's a great guy and everything, yeah. But I'm now scared of him because of his picture. I don't know what to think about
it. And you should be. Yeah.
Well, you'll hear more details, maybe even today, I'm not sure, but about the K-Rock calendar for 2007. I know we let a lot of people down by not doing a calendar for this year, and there are some people just didn't get out of bed. They're still in bed, just waiting for the new calendar so they know what to do with their lives.
That's true. It has been, a year, so they've been in bed for a year.
But it is coming very, very soon. We'll have all the details, including the K-Rock calendar signing, where you can meet all the K-Rock DJs if you want and get it signed. It's a great and inexpensive Christmas gift.
Was our president on Larry King? Because I got an email that said he was, and I checked the last three. I record them. I don't watch them, but I record them, and I went back, and he wasn't on any of the last three.
Yeah, I got the same email and looked up last night's show, and there was a different guest listed, so I don't know. Katie Couric was who I had last night on mine, so I don't know what that was about. He's been doing a ton of interviews, though, ahead of the election. He's out there just,
right.
Stumping.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I fast-forwarded through it because I wanted to find it because really nobody speaks at my level except for our president. and I can understand everything he says, although most people can't because of my problems.
Didn't see him.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We have the Lost highlight.
Yeah, it was a busy episode, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jack is having a what's the head of the others? What's that guy's name? Henry?
Or Ben?
Ben. Ben and Jack are having a gay relationship, and I thought that was odd.
Shocking.
That changed what I thought about Jack.
Yeah.
Because at some point in the show, he said,
I was hoping you might join me for a walk.
Why don't you put this on? I'll wait outside.
Okay, now, what I'm getting from that is, why don't you put this on? I'll wait outside. The distance between those two words, where he was pausing, he didn't want to wait outside.
He wanted to watch him change.
He wanted to watch Jack change.
Of course you did.
I gotcha.
And then when he realized Jack wasn't moving, that's when he said, I'll wait outside.
Oh.
So there's a gay relationship in there, and I didn't realize that. Am I the only one that caught that?
Yes.
You saw that.
Oh. Yes, you are. Although, having said that, they have been on the island an awfully long time.
That's right. You take what you can get.
You gotta change it up sometimes. I mean, same people for all this time. Right. For God's sake. You need a little strange.
All he has is that that hot blonde chick. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do with her, right?
Come on. They've done it. Been there, done that.
Yeah, it was nice to see some boobs on the island for a change, wasn't it? Yeah.
And there's a new hot chick who I was...
That's who I'm talking about.
Super
happy
to see. At first I was talking about Ben's chick in the...
Oh,
that
Julia.
Helps out
or
Jack.
Julia.
Whatever her name is. But now there's also a new chick, and why they
Rackalicious.
Why they didn't put Rackalicious on sooner, I don't know, but very excited about that. It's a trade I'm willing to make. I don't want to give too much away here because we're going to do the last recap, but what happened last night is a trade I'm willing to make.
That's
okay.
Callous of you,
hot
I
new
think.
Chick. Also on today's Kevin and Bean show, we have Barry Pepper, who, of course, is in Flags of Our Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to him about that and other things. We have Ralph's rant. Ralph is going crazy over the Griffith Observatory.
He picks interesting things.
Well, he's got a point, though, because it seems like people make up fake problems so that they can have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that problem doesn't really exist, but they put it out there as if it does.
But how do we really know?
Yeah, we're all just guessing because none of us have been to the Griffith Park Observatory since they opened. But Ralph's complaint, as you'll hear later, is that you have to make a reservation now to go to the observatory, right? And he says, hey, it's been closed for 4 years and no one cared. But I think I think they really are trying to do a service to the people who may want to go visit the observatory. They think it's going to get too crowded and people will be frustrated if they show up. So that's why they're advising, if you are coming, make a reservation. That's all.
I don't buy it. I was going to through the airport, and I came up, they have those little food stations and stuff, and it says, if you don't get a receipt, your next whatever is free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hate receipts. I mean, I don't collect them. I don't keep them.
Right.
And every time they hand one to me, I say, no thanks. I don't need the receipt. I'm just going to eat this bagel. I don't need... So I just always think, well, that's great. I'm going to sit here and wait and make sure they give me a receipt that I don't need just to make sure that they give me something else. That's the kind of thing that people do.
Well, you're
Some people write it off. I get that. But if you're writing it off, you're aware of it and you would ask
for it. I think they're trying to make sure the employee doesn't pocket the money,
I think that's exactly what it is,
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, the customer, have to be involved
in
that?
Well, I mean, if they have to give you a receipt, then they have to account for the money and the food.
I never thought of steal. That's a great idea. Steal money from customers. Okay, great. Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Borat.
Oh,
very excited that's about this.
The real Borat.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I love me some real Borat, and he's going to be on the program today. The name of the movie, of course, which comes out tomorrow, is Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Of course.
Sure. And I'm sure you knew that. But anyway, Borat is one of our very favorite reporters. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk to him on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
This isn't a remake. There wasn't a movie with that same title earlier?
No, I don't think so.
First time? Okay.
I don't think so. We also have Mindy Kaling, who is Kelly on The Office.
Yay!
She is the chick that just, yep.
So annoying.
Drives everybody crazy. She's a great character.
Yeah.
So we're going to check in with her today on The Kevin and Bean Show. We have to get into the CIA trying to get our audience to become members. That's a little odd.
Yeah, well, you got to recruit somewhere.
Desperate.
Check out Larry Flint's birthday celebration. And more. So we have that all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. 106.7. K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 10 minutes till 6.
Tune your guitars when you're not recording. That's what I suggest.
Sure. That's the latest song-o for the Red Hot Chili Pepper O's. It's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Huge show just ahead on K-Rock today. And Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And yet more tickets to the greatest rock and roll movie ever made.
They're the greatest band in the world, starring in the greatest
of destiny.
Motion picture in the world. This is why I don't cast him in any of my bits.
Sorry.
You just can't count on
him. I apologize.
He doesn't show up to rehearsals.
Wait, early. What's the secret to comedy?
Timing. It's a 4-pack of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny on Thursday, November 9th at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I will be there on the red carpet saying hi to all the minor celebrities that come out to these things, and I'll be saying things like, it's Moesha, everybody. Moesha.
Put your hands together for Moesha.
Yeah. So come out and join us. It's a 4-pack of tickets. Usually we just give a pair away, but it's you and three friends who get to join us at the red carpet world premiere. Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny.
Justin.
They've been talking about this movie for some time now, and I'm really been looking forward to it. Jack Black, Kyle Gass. It's going to be good. So be caller number 12 right now. 1-800-520-1067. And you get a 4-pack of tickets. Come on out and see the world premiere. Kevin Federline.
Is good?
Is amazing.
Okay.
He is the man. He is the artist that is sweet. Not since the Beatles, I don't think, have we seen a level of mania for a musical act like Kevin Federline. And, you know, just like with the Beatles, there was all kinds of merchandising, all kinds of projects that just hit the ground running in 64 when they hit on the Ed Sullivan Show, because it was such a major event in music history. And along those lines, Kevin Federline has announced he is writing his autobiography.
Oh, thank God. There's so many questions.
To help people understand who he is.
I thought the autobiography was done near the end of your life.
You mean when you've accomplished something?
Yeah.
No. Why wait for that? When you can write a book now. First of all, it'll be so much easier now because he has so much
less to talk about. Yeah.
And it'll be like a pamphlet. It'll just be a one sheet, really. So you won't have to spend too much time reading it. But Federline's eager for people to learn about who he is.
Sure.
And who he was before he hooked up with Britney Spears.
Before he came
that's
to
such a
major star.
Dancer?
Well, why doesn't just every low-life white trash guy in Fresno write an autobiography then, if that's what we're interested in? Because it's the same story, basically.
Yeah. Dude, why are you being hard on him?
It's wife beaters and cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
I guess
that
sure,
should be
yeah.
the title of the book, by the way.
Wife beaters and
cigarettes.
And that's chapter one. And then chapter two is, hey, I married Britney. And then chapter three is, I tried to capitalize that into some sort of a career based on talent, just on marrying Britney. And that's the whole book. That's and it. Then, you've now read it.
And chapter five is, I failed at that. Trying to do that.
And I moved
That'll
to
be
a
sequel.
Farm.
The book is definitely on, he says. But he says he's going to need some help actually writing the book.
Sure.
One surprise. I haven't done it yet. You know, I'll get a ghostwriter in there. Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to make up stuff, too. He's going to tell the ghostwriter, just make it interesting.
I'm going to buy two copies.
Two?
That makes for a bigger fire.
That's true. He is perhaps the most annoying celebrity of 2006.
Perhaps, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I'd have to put him right up there. Good news in the world of motion pictures. If you're a fan of TV show remakes on the big screen. Two big projects have been announced. One I'm not so crazy about, and one I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
Alan and Albert Hughes, you know the Hughes brothers?
Mm-hmm.
They do a ton of commercials and music videos. They are taking a break from that line of work to do a big screen version of the classic 1970s TV series Kung Fu. Daily Variety says that the word on the street is the Zen spirit of David Carradine will be preserved, but no word on whether he'll make a cameo appearance or not. I think he should be the dude who trains the new dude.
Yeah.
Take the pebble from my hand, Grasshopper.
That's all I remember about that. Is the word Grasshopper.
I love that effing show. Mm-hmm.
I love that show too. And I just remember that he just walked a lot. He just like the whole episode.
Well, he was
just
on a spiritual
walking.
Journey. Yeah. And so he would walk from town to town, and then he'd show up in a town and say, "We don't like your kind here, Chinaman." And say,
right.
"I do not want any fighting with you. I am a man of peace." "You better get out of here, Chinaman, or we're going to kill that woman friend of yours. Please do not touch her." "All right, I'm going to rape her."
And he destroys him.
And Kane would just go off on him. "Oh, all right, we respect you now, Chinaman."
Then he'd walk out of town.
He'd just walk right out of town.
Every episode.
Well, what a bad show that must have been.
No, it was the best. Sounds awful.
It was great. It was great.
In the beginning, he'd pick up a cauldron of boiling oil with his forearms, and it burned the impression of two dragons into his forearms.
Why did he do that?
Because, you know, there were no tattoo parlors back in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
So you had to get creative.
Okay.
What brought him, refresh my memory, Ralph, what brought him to America in the first place? Was he avenging someone's death back home in China?
He was looking for his brother, because he was half Chinese, half American.
Okay.
And so he was looking for his family in the Wild West of the 1800s. So he was on a quest to find his brother, to find his family.
I gotcha.
Are we still talking about Kung Fu?
Oh, yes, we are.
Okay.
So the Hughes brothers taking that project on. And another big screen project, which has been in the talks for some time now. Several directors have been connected with it. But it looks like the Wachowski brothers, Larry and Andy, of course, who brought you The Matrix.
Yeah.
They will be doing a live-action big-screen version of the 1960s animated TV classic Speed Racer.
Oh!
Wow, I love Speed Racer.
Speed Racer coming to the big screen.
Now, did you say, you said live-action, right?
Yep. Live-action, big-screen version of Speed Racer.
I don't think I ever saw Speed Racer either.
Oh!
Speed Racer is awesome. Oh.
Cartoon, right?
Yes!
Yes.
No, not a cartoon, the cartoon.
Nah, dude, interesting. I want to be there for the actress auditions for Trixie. You know what I'm saying?
She hot?
Oh, hot. Trixie, oh. Just Speed used to say all the time when he was crashing.
Really?
It was great. It felt like he was having an orgasm.
And Kevin, you'll love this.
Can we see her hands?
Speed Racer had a monkey.
Spritel, his brother Spritel, had a little monkey named Chim Chim, who was his buddy. He used to dress just like Spritel. Need candy and stuff. It was awesome. And of course, it was his brother, Racer X, who Speed didn't know was his brother.
Speed must never know I'm his brother. I will keep it from him as long as we live.
And then Pops Racer was his dad who built the car.
Pops Racer.
Speed, I put the plans for the Mach 5 in the windshield.
Come on, Kevin.
And Speed Kevin, Racer walks from town
board.
To town?
No, he drives. He goes to Grand Prix race all over the world. And every time he goes enters a Grand Prix race, there's also a mystery involved that he's got to solve.
Wow, what are the chances of that?
I must solve the mystery of the mammoth car. The car the size of 3 football fields. He had to race a car that was the size of 3 football fields. That's a big
car. I'm offended that Kevin is not more pleased by the Speed Racer movie.
I never watched it. I don't know.
Can't you hear how awesome it is?
It was a Japanese cartoon that was all dubbed in English. So for some reason, everyone who's doing the English version talked really fast and bad like they were dubbing a Japanese movie, which I can understand because they didn't have to because it was animated.
Oh, Trixie, we must go now and fight this thing. You're right, Speed, we must.
It's awesome.
Well, those are two movies I'm now looking forward to.
So it's all good news. All good news coming out of Hollywood today. A big brouhaha over this John Kerry thing.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it everywhere. Big kerfuffle over the John Kerry thing. You've seen it everywhere in the news. He was trying to make a lame joke about George Bush being stupid, and he ended up sounding like he was saying everybody who was serving in Iraq is stupid.
Yeah.
And now they're just hanging him from the yardarm over it. And, of course, the celebrities have to chime in as well.
Oh, God.
Yesterday on The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is the token right-winger on that show,
right,
said that John Kerry is, and I quote, "Mel Gibson without the booze." That's how hateful he is.
Okay.
I guess the troops being the Jews in this allegory.
I hate politics.
Yeah. So,
hate it.
As you can imagine, Joy Behar disagreed and blah, sure. blah, 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 blah.
And Rosie stepped all over him and started talking about being a lesbian.
No, Rosie started to sing Barbara Streisand.
What?
Yeah, that's how she defused the argument.
Is that true?
By breaking her to a Barbara song. It's true.
Would I kid you? Help us.
Sad news in the world of television if you're a fan of the Saturday night drama Kidnapped on NBC. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, I bailed after two episodes.
I saw the first
episode. How do you watch everything, Lisa? You see every show.
I TiVo'd everything to see what would be good and what wouldn't.
Help me help you, Sons and Daughters, Kidnapped. You're the one person watching every freaking show on this fall.
I watched Jericho a couple of episodes.
Holy crap. It's
just not enough of you.
I just wanted to know what was going on.
I hear you.
Nothing's
you
got to get a man or something. You wasted your time.
No, I stopped watching. I knew it wasn't
Lisa, good. I suppose loving. You're going to tell us that Sally Field and Calista Flockhart are on Kidnapped, too, huh? With
yes,
that other show you
made
up.
They play the kidnappers.
Oh.
They kidnap Balthazar Getty.
Right. And Ted Danson.
That's right. So that's canceled. But the good news is that Reba's coming back to the CW.
Oh, the Quaz got Reba?
The Quaz got Reba. So
just, hasn't that show been on for like 8 years or something crazy? I mean,
it's
amazing.
Yeah. And Bean, you got to be upset.
What happened?
The Bee Gees, from the popular singing group from the 60s and 70s.
Yes.
Just announced their new website, officialbeegees.com. Bean didn't get that one, did he?
Oh, what a shame.
Burn!
I'm way too busy running their little brother, Andy Gibbs' website.
It's just a matter of time till the Bee Gees come knocking on your door and say, we'd like Andy back, please.
Yeah, maybe so.
And then
I've got his ashes in the closet, too. I'm a big fan.
People say no.
He'll say no.
I don't like the way
you asked me.
No, I'm going to squat on your brother's website and not give it to you.
If you would have asked nicely, I'd give it to you.
But now you're coming at me with your Australian anger, and I won't accept it.
I gave up PabloCruz.com, you guys. Come on.
After a battle.
After they put a gun to your head.
And they had the bid on it. You didn't give it to them. Bean had PabloCruz.com.
I did give it to them.
You told us you didn't. You said you let it lapse, which means anyone can buy it.
Well, yeah, but obviously
you
they
could have given it to them.
But no, you just let it go fallow, so they had to scramble and pick it up off the ground like so much used bubble gum.
Yeah, there were a lot of people trying to buy that PabloCruz.com when it expired.
Well, and you had so many pages up, that's why you put so much time into it, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So you let Andy Gibb lapse so his family can have that name back?
I don't know. I haven't given it much thought. I'm working hard behind the scenes on younghotnation.com. That's
no,
the one
you're
I,
not.
That's, I think
you're
that's
not.
Next for 2007.
You're not.
That's the problem.
I'm not working hard on anything. I'm working on ClydeTumbaugh.com. Nothing.
ClydeTumbaugh.com's up and running. It's happening.
Little kid, your thoughts?
I can go to it now. I can go to ClydeTumbaugh.com right now and see something?
Yeah, it's been up since January 1st.
What is it, like one page that says,
no,
hey, everybody?
Check when you get in the other room, check it out, Ralph.
All right. I will. Today's celebrity birthdays. Keith Emerson from the legendary rock group Emerson, Lake & Palmer, 62 years old today. I met Keith when I was hanging out with Asia. We chatted.
Wow, that sounds like my idea of hell.
Yeah, you have a good time. David Schwimmer, our favorite friend. He's all, you know what? We haven't had him on the show in a couple days now. He usually comes on about once a week, doesn't he, Schwimmer?
We've never really had any friends.
No.
None of them.
The least friendly cast on TV.
The Schwim is 40 years
and
old.
If we had a chance to take the cast of Friends, he would be last on the
you
list.
You pass on the Schwim?
Yeah, I think we'd
go with Matthew Perry, maybe.
What's the Schwim been doing, by the way, since the whole Friends thing blew up?
No idea.
I haven't seen much of the Schwim.
Moping, yeah.
What's he been doing there, Psycho?
Moping.
Fieldy from Korn turns 37 years old today. Nelly, the rapper, is 32. His Band-Aid is 6. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So our old friend Larry Flint had a birthday yesterday. 64 years old. Larry, of course, the founder of Hustler Magazine. One of our favorite guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got him on the phone right now. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for joining us so early. We appreciate it.
Hold on a second. All right, I'll see you. All right, thanks for coming. Bye.
What's going on, Larry?
Just the last of my birthday party guests are leaving.
Just now leaving?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a party.
That's a party.
Oh, I'm telling you, fellas, I am a little worse for wear this morning.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you one thing about Mr. Flint is that he's 64 years old, but he's lived about 300 years. He's had many, many lifetimes in his 64 years.
There was one hell of a birthday party yesterday, I'll tell you.
Well, tell us what you did. It sounds like it.
Well, we had a lot of the Hustler honeys there for everybody. And we did so many drugs. I can't remember ever having a party with that many drugs available.
Is that right?
You know, we used to have a hard time getting enough for everybody, but since Courtney Love got sober,
right,
there's a lot more drugs for everybody.
There's plenty now?
Just in the world.
I have
used to use most of it.
I have noticed the prices have really, really come down on the street.
It's all supply and demand, you know. we had a great party, a great list of all my friends came by. And
like who?
Reverend Jerry Falwell.
Really?
There.
Yeah. Jerry Falwell.
He's a friend of yours?
Yeah.
Well, you guys did patch it up a little bit. We saw some of that in the People versus Larry Flynt. Eventually, you guys came together, decided to be friends, right?
And you have to have somebody for the guys to have sex with, you know?
Oh, that's the way it is.
I try to make everybody happy at
sure.
the party.
Sure, as a party host, that's your job.
Yeah. Mel Gibson was here.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Oh, you know Mel.
We kept him in the non-Jew section.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
that's good for him, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Martin was here.
Ricky Martin?
What's he up to?
Well, no, he wasn't invited. He was working for the catering company.
Oh, I see.
He was passed around hors d'oeuvre.
He's living La Vida Broca these days, huh?
Hey! How does he do it?
Larry, you okay?
What was that noise, Larry?
The comedy slide whistle.
Well, Larry is prepared. Who knows what he's got in that wheelchair of his?
Man.
That's how I roll.
It is how you roll. Larry, I miss the days. I was thinking about you the other day, Mr. Flynt. No kidding about this. The politicians that are running for office these days are so crappy. Every single one of them. Doesn't matter which party they are. They get on. You hate them. You want them to go away. Remember the good old days when you were running for president against Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, there was a time when, you know, you could pick out a politician or two to tee off on and release some embarrassing details about.
Right.
Now it's just, they're all so bad, it's no fun anymore.
Oh, that's too
yeah,
bad.
I don't blame you for getting out of politics. Seriously, politics has officially now gotten too dirty for Larry Flynt.
And there's nobody you really want to side with or elect.
Right.
So, I mean, John Kerry apparently is going out of his way to lose an election he's not even running for yet.
Right? That's got to be very frustrating for people, sure.
Yeah, sure. So I just do blow off a hooker's asses and have sex with animals and just my usual day-to-day routine.
Larry, I'm sorry. I thought you just said have sex with animals.
Well, again, it's Courtney Love. I mean, however you want to classify it.
Well, Larry, we should probably let you go get to bed. I mean, I imagine you've got to be exhausted after another night of partying for your birthday.
Well, before bed, I have to go get some aspirin or something. My head's
sure.
killing me, so I'm just going to walk over to the medicine chest and get something.
No.
Larry, you can't.
Larry, please don't
you
try to get
walk.
Out of
What was that?
Larry?
What's he doing? I can't walk.
You can't walk, right?
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't catch the name of the band we were just playing there. Who were we playing there?
That's Gavin Rosdale's band.
Right. What are they called? I don't remember the...
It's Bush.
On the show today, a recap of last night's loss with K-Rock Lister Wild Bill. Ralph's got the highlights for you coming up after 7. Also, Borat himself on the program today. And from the Clint Eastwood film Flags of Our Fathers, actor Barry Pepper. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about a pretty cool charity event that's coming up. We have Evan Ose on the line. Good morning, Evan.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Evan.
I used to eat Evan Ose every single morning when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old. It was my favorite.
Not a bad cereal at all, right?
Exactly, the best. Evan, we saw your article in the Los Angeles Times, the article about your organization, the Boarding House Mentors in the Los Angeles Times, and it really sounded like just a fantastic organization, and I bet a lot of our listeners don't even know you guys exist. Tell us about Boarding House Mentors.
It's actually an organization started about 4 years ago, and it's a group of very dedicated volunteers. We take at-risk inner-city L.A. kids, bus them out to the beach every other Sunday throughout the summer months, and we take them surfing, teach them how to surf, show them that there's a big, bright world out there. There's a lot of things they can do outside the little 10-block radius in inner-city L.A., and it's a lot of fun. You'd be amazing to see the change in these kids' lives.
How do you identify at-risk teenagers? What does that mean exactly?
Well, all of our kids come from a group called Youth Mentoring Connection. A lot of these kids are, a lot of them go to Jefferson High. A lot of them are from that area where, you know, they don't have, a lot of them don't have single family homes. They're broken homes. A lot of them have a lot of gang affiliation, or they're being courted by gangs, or
right.
they've had experience with drugs, or, you know, just a tough background.
You know, it's really interesting, Evan, when you talk about the 10-block radius that most of these kids probably spend, you know, their whole lives in. They probably feel like they're as close to the Pacific Ocean as somebody living in Nebraska for as little as they ever think about it or see it, right, before they get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, you know, I actually just got involved with the organization last year, and it was my first summer, and I was shocked that a lot of these kids had never seen the ocean before. And so this summer, I work with a lot of the new volunteers, and I have to tell them, look, you take a lot of things for granted about the beach, about the ocean, about how a wave breaks, about how waves come in sets, about tides. These kids have never seen a beach before. They don't understand any of that.
Right.
And it's a whole new experience for them, and they really get fired up by it. They really get excited about it.
That sounds cool. So you take them to the beach during the summer. Do you take them snowboarding as well?
We actually do. We're in the third year of our snowboarding program. We take them up to some of the local mountains here. We did a couple trips to Mammoth last year and even a longer trip up to Tahoe last year.
Wow.
And again, it's just a great way to get them out of their environment, give them a new experience, and give them a community really outside of their own environment. We talk a lot about how it's not really about surfing. It's not about snowboarding. It's just about these kids having a supportive community of adults
right.
outside of where they normally are, showing that there's other things that they can be doing.
Is it difficult to keep them interested in two sports, snowboarding and surfing, which if you do it for the first time, both are really, really frustrating? I mean, I ate sand the first time I surfed, and I ate a lot of snow the first time I snowboarded. It's like, that's so frustrating. You have to stick with it for, three or four times before you can finally start getting it.
You know what's funny is most of the kids come back every single year because it is challenging. It does take a long time. I mean, I've been surfing for 10 years, and I'm still, still always learning. But they really just enjoy the fact that, they can fall, they can laugh, they can make a fool of themselves, and no one's going to, fault them for it. Everybody's going to laugh and have a good time. They're extremely supportive around each other. It's not just us. A lot of their mentors will come out with them, because it is a mentoring program.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's, the great thing about surfing is that everybody falls. And that's one thing we tell
right.
them. Look, the best surfers in the world, they fall every day. That's just part of snowboarding. You're going to fall.
We had, if you're just joining us, by the way, Evan Ose is on the line. He's a spokesperson and member of the board of directors of Boarding House Mentors, and we'll give you the website address here at the end of the conversation. We had Snoop Dogg on the show with us recently, and he runs a football program for some of the same reasons that you do surfing and snowboarding, which is to give kids something else to think about other than maybe their situations and their neighborhoods. And I bet a lot of your kids have really, hardcore gotten into these things. Like, it's really become an important part of their lives, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple kids that now they've gotten out and gotten their own boards, and they, they come to the beach on their own. They have their mentors bring them to the beach. They've really kind of locked into it, and they've realized it's a part of their lives. They want to, take it
right.
to the next level, and it's great because, again, it takes their focus away from where they are now and makes them realize that, hey, I don't have to do what all of my friends have been doing and what everyone else I see at school is doing. I can go do something else and make a better life for myself.
I asked you if it's hard to keep them interested. On the flip side of that, if you get to learn to snowboard or if you get to learn to surf, it's one of those things that's with you for life.
Yeah.
You can't imagine doing anything else. It's just so much fun.
Most surfers and snowboarders, you're right. You mean that's all they talk about.
Yep.
Evan, tell us about Sunday night and how the K-Rock listeners could help.
Sunday night, actually, we've got a great fundraiser event, silent auction coming up at the Canyon Club out in Agoura Hills. I've got a bunch of musicians lined up. Actually, Gary Ballin is a guitarist. He's also a producer, and he actually is one of the mentors. So he's going to have some of his kids up there jamming with him on stage. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay, and tickets are $25, right?
$25. At $25, you can buy them at Ticketmaster, you can buy them at the Canyon Club, or you can buy them at the door. Canyon Club website as well.
The Canyon Club is the 101 freeway at Canaan?
Canaan Road, you got it.
Excellent.
Okay.
And the website is boardinghousementors.org.
That's right, that's correct. It's got information about the organization and the event up on the website.
Last question for you, Evan, and it's awesome that you agreed to come on with us this morning. If there is somebody listening who thinks that they or somebody they know can benefit from the program, they can also go through the website to get in touch to be mentored, perhaps?
Absolutely. Yep. All of our contact information on there. Just send an email, and we'll have somebody get back to you.
Very cool.
Okay. Boardinghousementors.org. Evan Ose has been our guest. Hey, good luck to you, man. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. Bye now.
A lost recap coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. And also with more tickets to give away to see The Pick of Destiny.
I do have a four-pass. What?
Yeah.
I have a four-pack of passes. That's fine. That's like Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers right there. Four-pack of passes to see the world red carpet premiere of Tenacious D in
The Pick of Destiny.
Thursday, November 9th at Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood. It's going to be a good time. I'll be hanging out there on the red carpet saying hi to everybody. So come on out. Win this four-pack of passes right now if you're caller number 17. Caller 17, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. This should be a good, good movie. It's got your Kyle Gass, you've got your Jack Black, members of Tenacious D.
Best bet in the world.
We're going to have them in for this, aren't we?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I hope.
Jack, speaking of having in,
mm-hmm.
did you finally see who finally, after me screaming, yelling, and throwing tantrums and rolling around the floor and holding my breath, who Lightning finally booked for us for a Monday?
No, no, but I'm worried.
Hayden Panettiere.
Oh.
Claire, the cheerleader from Heroes.
Oh, that's right.
The cheerleader from Heroes, my friends. Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
That's what I'm talking about.
Save her panties for me. I just added that to the slogan.
I like it.
I love me some Heroes.
She can't be killed, that girl.
She's invincible.
Yes.
Dude, you could wreck her. You could do whatever you wanted to her and it wouldn't kill her.
Shut up.
Vince Papale, there's a reach back.
Invincible.
There's a reach around, quite frankly. All right, let's talk about Nicole Richie, shall we?
Guilty.
Excuse me for a little tangent here. I know we don't have much time, and I'll try to get this over with as quickly as possible. But I think of Nicole Richie. I think of last night I was watching. I watch the entertainment news shows just because I like to keep abreast of what's happening.
Right.
And so they were doing a lot with her, this Nicole Richie thing.
Sure.
Because she has come forward and said that she's not in rehab and she doesn't have an eating disorder, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Which is just wrong. Anyone can look at you and say that you have a problem.
And you're those lying. Are photos that you're add lying. 10 pounds. Oh, my God.
They had photos of her, and you see her hand, and she looks like a 97-year-old woman. Her hand and her arm is so wizened and bony and filled with veins that she looks like she's decrepit.
Yeah. She lost all her skin. She has no skin.
So that's just a lie. That's the story there. But I was watching the show, and they've got the photos of her and whatever, and how she's just bones, and she's wearing a bikini. I'm like, why bother? You have no breasts left. You have no curves. You could be nude. You'd look like a 10-year-old boy in the water. Nobody would care. But in between all of that, every 30 seconds, freaking Entertainment Tonight and The Insider has been pummeling us with this Anna Nicole Smith interview that they've got tonight.
Right.
Right.
And they show promos for it in the middle of the show that are about 8 minutes long. Tomorrow night, we talk to Anna Nicole Smith. She's crying. The side of the story you've been dying to know. No one else has this story. It's the most shocking interview ever. It's like, shut up. Nobody cares that much what this doped up old hobag's got to say about what happened. We know the story, and nothing. She's not going to give us any information.
It's not going to be groundbreaking in any way.
She's just going to cry and say that everyone's picking on her.
Yeah.
And how much she loves Howard. And, you know, it's just going to be all lies, lies, lies. And I want to see her just cry and dab and rise with a tissue for 8 minutes. But they are just shoving this down everybody's throats.
You know what November is like, man. Sweeps. You know how sweeps is. Yeah.
But they literally said, the most shocking interview ever.
I just threw up.
That's not an open statement.
It's like we
ever.
Sat down with Saddam Hussein or something. No, forget that. Anna Nicole Smith, an old dried up playmate who's living in the Bahamas. This is the interview you must see. Set your TiVos, Laura Spencer says.
It is really pretty easy to guess everything that's going to be said.
Of course.
Every single thing.
It's a train wreck television. Yeah. You're going to want to watch her cry and scream and that. But they start off with like Mark Steiner says, Anna, are you ready? Yes, I'm ready, Mark. To show that clip. It's like, this is not world peace at stake here, people.
I just threw up.
Anyway, yeah, that's tonight on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider. And
they do treat it like it's the president coming on TV after 9/11, don't they?
It really is. Nothing has been more important to these people than this interview. And it's not even the most interesting celebrity story that's happening now, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just couldn't get past it last night.
Well, maybe we'll bring you some highlights of that interview tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show if you don't watch.
Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon, as we mentioned, of course, are splitting up. Ryan could cash in, according to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. No prenup in this marriage.
Oh.
No.
She's richer?
Prenup. Oh, much, much
so
richer.
Rich. Yeah. She's $20 million a movie rich.
Yeah.
She is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those deals, though, where he's got a career and he doesn't need money.
50-50, my friend.
I know.
50-50.
Listen,
No.
I'm just saying. It goes both ways.
What's good for the Reese is good for the gander. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Oh.
He's got income. He's fine.
He's fine, but he's going to be a lot finer when
he cashes
that big check.
I think, yeah.
That just
bugs me.
Well, if he doesn't, I will.
Can you do that?
I'm going to make a citizen's arrest and make her give
you
half
have
of her money to him. Yeah. No, to him. I want him to get it. I want it to be right.
Yeah.
All right, got tons of emails. Need to make a quick correction. I did mention that Alan and Albert Hughes, the Hughes brothers, are doing a big screen version of the classic 1970s TV series Kung Fu.
Right. What were the emails
about?
If
you don't remember, Kung Fu was a Chinaman. He was a Chinaman in the Old West. And he would walk around and then kick bad guys' asses. But I said that, first of all, that he was in the United States because he was looking for his half-brother.
Right.
Which is true, but he had to leave China because he killed the emperor's nephew in a kung fu battle.
Oh.
And so I've been corrected by hardcore kung fu
fans. And the kung fu fans?
Yes.
What years was this on?
This was on 72 to 75, I think.
Yeah, and you got right. corrected by people who were angry?
Hardcore angry kung fu fans.
Okay, you people go away.
And
it'll be kung fu first. Ask questions later.
That's right. And I mentioned when he picked up the boiling cauldron.
Yeah.
He had dragons burned into both forearms.
Right. Oh, don't tell me they weren't dragons.
One was a dragon, Lisa. Oh, the other was a tiger.
Well, get it right, Ralph. For God's sakes, what's wrong with you?
So I'm making the corrections now. I apologize deeply to all the kung fu fans out there.
Well, it's not so much that they are untrue as much as they are true-less or lie-ish.
Yes, exactly. So now I've come clean and...
Here's a clip from the show, Kung Fu.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
That'd be Kane.
Kane. You got corrected?
I got corrected by the Kung Fuies.
That.
The Kung Fuies, as I like to call them now.
Wow.
Oprah Winfrey gave away $1,000 to each member of her audience last week so they would know the power of giving. She suggested they give that money to charity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, BetUS.com, the gambling website, has posted odds on what Oprah will give away next. You know, she's giving away a car. She's giving away a home. She gives away a business. She gives away lots of stuff to her audience.
Right.
What will she give away next to her audience? They're taking bets now.
What will she give away next?
They've made a list of items and the odds that they will.
And it could be a small an item or as big an item?
It could be anything.
Okay.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Wheelbarrow full of fat?
Wheelbarrow full of fat, not on the list.
Mm. Oh, but opening Acoustic Christmas. Oddly.
Exactly. One free year of therapy for every member in the audience. 5-1 odds. A 2-week all-inclusive vacation, also going off at 5-1.
Okay.
Free tickets to see Dr. Phil, 10-1. 10-1 odds. A home, 40-1. Having their student loans paid off, 16-1.
Okay.
1-year subscription to the Gay Advocate magazine, 20-1. Season tickets to the Cubs, 50-1. Same thing for the Bulls, 51, because she's there in Chicago.
Right.
But a date with Stedman is 100-1. So I don't think you'll see seeing that happen anytime soon. So if you want to put in your wagers, now's your opportunity over there at BetUS.com. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Schwimmer, the Schwim.
Murph.
The Schwim Man. Gone with the Schwim. He's 40 years old today. Fieldy from Korn turns 37. Nelly, rapper, 32. Prodigy, also rapper, 32. And Carter Beaufort, drummer for the Dave Matthews Band, turns 49 years old today.
Did you get corrected on that too?
Yes, by all the Kung Fu Carter fans. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'd like to request the group version of the theme from Lost, please, before we get into the update from last night's show.
There you go.
Nice.
You go.
That's very well done, you guys. Apparently, Wild Bill not joining us, apparently very busy at work this morning.
Because he's off.
Wait.
He's off the show, like everyone, like we all are.
No,
Jump
I love
the shark.
I loved it. I love that show. Last night was the best show of the season.
You're higher than a kite.
Maybe, but best show of the season.
You are so deeply medicated.
I liked it.
Lost is becoming Twin Peaks Season 3. That's what's happening right now.
Stop it. Why are you so bad?
I hate to agree with Ralph, but I got to tell you, I'm this close to being off of Lost altogether.
You would actually stop watching?
I really am.
I
might.
Really?
They are just effing it up, in my opinion.
I've got to stay with it.
I know Ralph has his reasons, and I know we'll get to those, but really, when I saw The Pirate, I just said, now they're just playing games. You know what I mean?
They're just dropping in random goofy characters.
Ooh, let's be weird.
Oh, let's have a midget talk backwards about Formica next. That's what we're going to get, people.
That's Twin Peaks all over again.
But they introduced a new hot character. Come on, people.
Out of the sky. Boom. Hi, I've always been here. Hi, how are you? Remember me? I'm one of the castaways. I've always been around. No, I don't think so. I think I'd remember you from the previous two seasons.
She's
hot. I've been right here cutting fruit the whole time. Can I come on the mission?
But she's hot.
Whatever.
So I'm in.
She is rackalicious. All right, let's start from the beginning, Ralph. The show starts last night at 9 o'clock on ABC. What happens?
Echo is recovering from his polar bear wounds.
See, that's what we're talking about.
Listen, I am in.
And he gets a visit from his dead brother, who says he has to confess for all his misdeeds, and the ghost of his brother sets the tent on fire.
And then Echo gets up and wanders into the wilderness and tries to go back to the plane wreckage to find the corpse of his brother so he can talk to it, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Jack is still being incarcerated in the underwater prison of the Others. And Ben, the leader of the Others, comes down to invite him to attend the funeral of one of the Others. Why? They don't bother telling us why he's invited to the funeral.
That's
he just
true.
Is. No, let's just ask one of the prisoners to come to the funeral. Is there a reason why he has to go to the funeral? No, they just have him stand here. Don't get too close. Just stand on the sand and watch us burn the body of our friend. Okay, I'll just be here in a nice white shirt.
Yeah, they didn't explain that.
Pointless! So anyway, Ben invites
it's
him
Ben's
for a walk.
It's Ben's gay love for him.
And Ben's asking him, you know, let's take a walk. And Jack starts needling him and says, hey, you got a little pain in your neck there? You got a little numbness in your arms and legs? Because he's seen his x-rays and he knows that he's got a tumor on his neck.
Why are you asking me these questions, Jack? Because, Ben, you have a tumor on your spine, an aggressive tumor that is going to kill you. I don't know when those x-rays were taken that I saw, but unless they were very recent, I'm not going to be taking walks much longer.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Fine, okay, you're not going to die. Let's go take a walk to the beach and watch the funeral. Let's do it.
No skin off my nose.
So, meanwhile, our boy Locke is figuring out a way, he thinks, to be able to find Jack and Sawyer and Kate, who are currently being held by the Others, because he remembers that there is more than one Hatch.
I think I know how to find Jack, Kate, and Sawyer.
Can I ask why he's being included in the conversation?
Is that supposed to hurt my feelings?
Tell him what you told me.
The computer in the Hatch wasn't only for pushing the button. I'm pretty sure it could be used to communicate with other stations.
This is fascinating. But you just told me the Hatch exploded.
One of them did.
But there are others. And so Locke says, let's go to the Pearl, because they've been there before. That's the same hatch as where the wreckage from the plane is that has all the heroin on it,
right,
which also has the body of Echo's brother.
Right.
So they're all heading in the same direction. And Locke decides to invite anyone who wants to come along. It's a big party. Just anyone who wants to come. Let's go to the wreckage. Come on.
Whether
we're
all you're on the
going.
Show or not.
Anybody. People from other shows, other casts he's inviting. He's inviting Brad Garrett from Till Death and other networks.
Come on.
He's bringing everybody along for no good reason. He says, come on, it's going to be a big party.
More the merrier.
I'll go.
Great.
What?
Anybody else want to come? Meet us at the tree line in 10 minutes. Bring water.
You're not serious.
What? You always whine about not being included. Now's their chance.
You know why you weren't included? Because you've never been on the show before.
Two new castaways.
Because they're just dropping new characters with zero explanation now and treating them as if they've been there always.
They've always been there, Ralph. They're just focusing on other people.
Hey, you guys who cut the fruit in the background.
Yes.
Now you come with us on the mission because you've been so important in everything that's led up to this point. We'd love to have you along. Well, see, how can we get these two new characters to go on the mission? Have Locke make an open invitation to everyone on the beach that they can go with them. Because they always do that. Locke always welcomes everyone to go on the expeditions with them.
If
he's
they're
all about sharing information, you know that. Hey, look, the problem with Lost, I felt up till this point, is there weren't enough characters.
Right.
So now I'm glad that's
exactly.
why they're adding some.
Why did someone turn around and say, hey, whatever happened to the old black broad and
where
her husband? Where did they go? Hey,
yeah,
remember the black guy who had a son, Walt? It was a big part of our family that's gone. Does anyone even miss him? No, let's bring along the fruit cutters. Let's bring them on the
Send
mission.
Send him off on a boat. Come on.
That's this show.
I'm still in.
Meanwhile, Ben comes back now to Jack to talk about his tumor, because before he was pretending like he didn't have one, but for some reason now he's going to cop to the fact that he has one, and it's really upset him because it's ruining his plan.
We had such a wonderful plan to break you, Jack. Break me? Wear you down till you were convinced we weren't your enemies. Get you to trust us. And then, of course, we'd lead you to believe that you were choosing to do whatever we asked you to do. All of this, of course, assumed that you would get invested. Invested in what? Has it not occurred to you that Juliet bears a striking resemblance to your ex-wife? Why are you telling me this?
I'm telling you this, Jack, because my wonderful plan got shot to sunshine when you saw my damned x-rays and figured out I was dying.
These are the worst bad guys in the world, the others, okay? Because they have to put a con on Sawyer to make him think that he had a pacemaker, but he didn't because he can't get off the island anyway. But they wanted to learn his respect because they're not the enemies, but they are the enemies. And if you shoot me, you will be the enemy, but we're not your enemy. And we're going to make you believe that you should want to operate on me because we got a girl who looks like your ex-wife. F you.
Ralph, why didn't... I have two questions about Ben, formerly known as Henry. First of all, why invent the whole thing when in the very beginning he could have said the day he met Jack, hey, great to see you. I live on the island too. Please help me. I have a tumor. Why didn't he just do that from the very beginning, like the first minute he met Jack? Why go through all this? And second of all, why does he have a tumor if he's on the island if everybody else seems to be getting all healed? Son's infertility is healed, Locke can walk, and what's up? What's up with that?
The minute the show showed us the bad guys, the others, and introduced us and let us know who these people are, now they're screwed because they don't know whether to make them. They are the enemy, they aren't the enemy. Do they do elaborate sort of schemes where they pretend to put pacemakers in people and con them to get their trust to make them do an operation that they're not supposed to do and show them movies and feed them? Just put a gun to the guy's head and say, all right, now you do the operation or we're going to kill you and your friends.
But the guy's
worse than Bond villains these people are.
No, but his life is in danger. This is a difficult surgery. He wants the guy to want to do it. I can understand that.
If he put a gun to Kate's head and he said, if you don't cut out this tumor and I don't live through this operation, I have orders for them to kill and rape your friend Kate.
That's another direction.
Pretty good motivated to get the tumor out quicker than weeks in the underwater cavern showing him movies, feeding him cheeseburgers. Just my guess. Meanwhile, everyone's going off to the Pearl Station, including Echo, is trying to find the body of his dead brother who's now walking around talking to him.
Right.
And he gets to the plane and he makes an interesting realization.
All right, bro, that's a gun.
The brother's corpse is gone. He's walking around the jungle, setting fire to tents.
I know it's been 20 years since we saw this episode, but didn't he burn? I thought he burned the plane, burned everything up at
the time. Well, that's what Locke says. You know, you burnt everything up, including your brother's body, and there's animals and stuff. That's probably why it's gone. But Echo believes that his brother is out there, and he needs to confess about all his former wrongdoings, because all of a sudden now Echo's bothered by everything he did in the past, even though he completely was at ease with it for a season and a half, and he was the most calm spiritual person on the planet. Now suddenly he's racked with guilt again. Why? We don't know. They don't bother to tell us. Well, Locke does get down into the Pearl Station, and he finds the TV monitors, and he's surprised that the TV monitors look into other stations, even though last time he was down there, he saw them in the hatch, and he knew that's what the TV was for. But he conveniently forgot it in this episode, so the new girl, the fruit cutter, has to tell him, well, maybe these TVs look into other hatches. And he's like, wow, don't I feel dumb? Yeah, maybe we should try to see if we can make that happen.
Because
I forgot all about last season when I saw all the TVs on.
A lot's happened to him since then.
Well, they do find a way to turn a new feed into one of the TV screens, and they do find a new hatch with TV with computers in it.
Yeah, we got something.
What is it?
That's a good question.
Those are computers. Great. That's what you're looking for. Now we can get out of here.
It's a guy with an eye patch.
It was a pirate. That's true.
Oh, a guy with an eye patch turns off the camera. We have another bad guy. New character now. Eye patch guy.
So the fruit cutter's husband says, oh, well, this computer's cool.
Let's get out of here. Hey, look, if you weren't interested in the mission, you shouldn't have tagged along, fruit cutter. Oh, no, let's get out of here. No, they're there for a reason. To find eye patch guy.
To meet the pirate, right.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'm glad I don't ask all these questions of my shows.
They want you to ask all these questions. They made a point. This show's all about asking the questions, and now they can't support their own questions anymore. Well, Echo does find his brother walking around, we think. And he decides that he doesn't have anything to confess to his brother because he was just doing what he had to survive.
Right.
And he has no guilt now at the end of the episode. See, last season he had no guilt, and the end of the episode has no guilt. But the whole episode, he was very guilty for some reason. But now he doesn't, and he explains that to his brother.
Just thought I'd put a movie in.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. This is Julia, who is going to show a movie to Jack, she says, when she comes in.
Just thought I'd put a movie in.
You know what? I'm going to pass on the movie.
You'll like this one, Jack. It's To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a classic.
Julia, I don't want to watch a movie
right
now.
I'll turn the sound down, then.
She turns the sound down because it's not To Kill a Mockingbird at all. It's a video of her holding up cue cards saying, I want you to kill Ben while you're operating on him.
Ben is a liar.
Because he's a bad man, and we want to change, and we want to overthrow Ben.
Yes.
So rather than just get all the others there with their guns to turn him on Ben and kill him and take him out, they're going to bring in the surgeon to do an intricate operation on him, pretend to fool the operation, and fail and to kill him on the operating table.
Because they have to make it look like it was an accident. You can't just shoot him. It has to look like an accident because there's a higher power somewhere.
Oh, I see.
That's why.
Well, he believes in God because God happened to drop a spine surgeon out of the sky just when he needed
one. Okay, that was dumb.
No, Kevin, no. That's a sign that there's a God. Or a sign of bad script writing. I can't really decide which was a sign of, first and foremost. Then, as I mentioned, Echo does confront his brother and says he has nothing to apologize for and nothing to confess his sins about.
I did not ask for the life that I was given. But it was given nonetheless. And with it, I did my best. You speak to me as if I were your brother. Who are you?
Apparently it's not his brother. Apparently it's the big smoke monster that picks you up off the ground and beats you against the tree until you're dead. Because smoke can do that.
On the island, it can.
On the island, the smoke can lift
the
you
smoke,
up and
wait,
beat
wait
you
a minute.
Up.
The smoke grabbed Locke's leg and tried to pull him down into the hatch. Remember that?
Or was that a chain? That pulled him
into
the hatch.
I thought it was a smoke.
But remember, you hear that chain, the winching sound, as if there was a chain attached to him, and it goes down into the
hatch? But I thought Echo is the only guy who can beat the smoke. He can stare down the smoke because he's such
a
powerful, strong man.
He's pure of heart, and he's a spiritual being, so he was able to look into the face of the smoke and not be bothered by it. But that was last season, Bean. That doesn't count now. Now he gets beaten to death by the smoke.
See, last season he didn't know he did wrong. This episode, his brother tells him he did wrong.
He knew he did wrong. He showed you all the flashback stuff of last season when he was doing all those horrible things.
Now he's got the opportunity to say he's sorry for what he did, and he doesn't. Boom! Smoke kills him. I'm in.
No.
It was fantastic.
No, it was completely against his character and completely out of place. And he tells everyone before it's all over that they're next.
You're next.
You're all next. That's what he said to me, Locke says. And, of course, that means nothing because they'll do nothing to follow up on anything that's said in any other episode.
Ralph, who hurt you?
This show hurt me desperately. This season, the show is kicking me in the balls. And it's time for me to cross my legs.
Wow. Well, that's an ugly wrap-up.
Well, look, it's an ugly episode, man. What do you got?
Kevin Bean, Afroline on the air at 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can call and leave a message on any topic, and we go through it every day and play some of them back for you on the air.
Bean has been trying for quite some time to get on jury duty.
Yeah.
And that's what the first call is about.
Got jury duty. Ew.
Mother effer. Don't rub it in.
If it takes a big-breasted woman to work at Hooters, doesn't it mean that you should be a one-legged woman to work at IHOP?
Well, if Heather Mills McCarty doesn't get the money she's hoping for from Paul McCartney, maybe that's her next gig is working at IHOP.
Look, we know you like some things better than others on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not everything is A-plus material.
Right.
I mean, we like to think it is, but we know it's not.
Kevin, Bean, just when you think that your station and your program is getting good, you guys bring on some a-hole who can't freaking speak goddamn English, like Doto or Bob Toe or My Toe or Camel Toe or whatever the frick his name is. He's worse than the Armenian comedian.
Oh.
I am seriously ready to commit suicide. Moist. Moist.
All right. How dare you?
That's a tough call.
Bob Toe rules the planet.
You think?
Second of all, we do take requests.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys could play some Red Hot Chili Peppers, because I never hear that anymore.
We'll get that right up for you. Thank you.
Look into that, see what we can do for you.
Bean, what do you call hardcore fans of Barry Manilow?
Well, we're Fanilows.
Fanilow. Fanilow. Yeah, that's definitely the gayest thing I ever heard. Yeah, that woman up at his house, probably not even his wife, probably his hostage.
We've long surmised that was the deal.
Did you see Barry doing a duet with Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report this week?
No.
Very funny.
No.
Psycho Mike yesterday was talking about how the little kids come from other neighborhoods to his for Halloween candy, and he asks them where they live and then gives them or doesn't give them candy, depending.
Hey, Mike, I got a message for you. I live in Rosemead, which is just the next couple of towns over, right? I drive through San Marino every day on my way home, and I'm going to make a donation to your parents' house. I'm going to go buy a dozen eggs, and we'll see how that fits on your porch.
Nice. I like that.
Hey, Psycho Mike, stop bitching, eh? I'm one of those people that take my kids to the different neighborhoods. I don't bitch about you coming to our neighborhood and buying weed. Stay in your own neighborhood, homie.
Boom.
Good point.
Nice.
All right, so Tammy Heidi goes missing and no one says nothing. And then there's no calendar. There's no Christmas City. And now Flashback Lunch has gone missing and nobody's saying nothing. So I just want to take this time to say bye, Kevin. Bye, Beam. Bye, Ralph. Bye, Lisa May. One day you're going to disappear and no one's going to even tell us what happened.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
we know
that.
It
seems like a lot of stuff has been sucked into the vortex. It's probably all on the Lost Island.
Yeah, that's true.
Tammy Heidi's going to show up on a future episode.
This is for you guys that don't like lightning. Well, I love him. He's so hot. Lightning.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, check. Hello, hey, sounds great.
Check 1, 2, 2. Check, 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 check 1, 2. Good sound, good sound, good sound. Good sound, check 1, 2.
Coming up in a minute, we have Borat Sagdiyev.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sagdiyev, yes.
I think that's how you say his last name. Borat is a reporter for Kazakhstan's state-owned television network. And while we wait for his call, I would like to tell you about an award that he's won. Okay. I didn't realize he was an award-winning journalist, but he's won the Kazakh Bronze Horse of News Reporting Award for his 2003 coverages of the reenactment of the August 15th Tyeznik Massacre.
Yeah.
In which our soldiers enter the Uzbek town of Tyeznik on August 15th every year and massacre them. It is very fun and I am proud, he says.
Yeah.
So he won an award for that reporting.
He also covers the yearly running of the Jew in Kazakhstan, when all the Kazakhs run from the giant Jew who chases them down the center of town. And then the big female Jew lays the Jew egg. And then all the children have to crush the Jew egg before it hatches.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems to me, Ralph, that Kazakhstan is so much fun. Why leave there and come to boring old America when you've got so much great homegrown fun? You know what I'm saying?
Because they love America. The Kazakhs love America, and he wanted to learn more about the culture and bring it back to Kazakhstan.
The film is called Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Borat himself. Good morning, Borat.
Angeles peoples.
Hello, Borat.
How are you, my friend?
Very nice.
Are you calling us from Kazakhstan today?
Yes.
Okay.
I call from Almaty. We have a telephone.
You have a telephone.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
I have had over 25 conversations in my lifetime.
Over 25.
Wow.
Well, congratulations. Now, Borat, I'm glad that we got to speak with you today because your movie is ruffling a lot of people's feathers the wrong way. I guess you have seen by now that there has been a complaint filed against you in Germany. I guess you used to be a gypsy catcher. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, you were a gypsy catcher. And now I guess there's worries that your comedy may be violating Germany's anti-discrimination law. People are upset about you talking badly about gypsies now, and they're talking about suing you for it.
Yes, that is correct. In fact, I had problem beforehand because I won an award at the 2002 Kazakh Games for hitting a gypsy with a rock from 50 meters.
Yeah.
Which was particularly impressive because the gypsy was unchained.
Wow, an unchained gypsy. That's amazing.
Now, Abora, do you seem to get that response everywhere you go? It seems like a lot of people in America didn't know what to think of you.
Yes, there were some strange responses I got. I was surprised, for example, to learn that it is now illegal to shoot at Red Indians.
Yeah, yes,
and
you can't do that.
I would once again like to use this opportunity to apologize with all my heart to the staff at the Potawatomi Casino in Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. Do you find that most Americans are happy to meet someone from your country, or was it a little awkward trying to make conversation with us?
There is one scene in the movie film where I sing the national anthem at the rodeo in Virginia, and I do not know what happened, but these people then try to lynch me.
Yeah, I've seen the film Borat, and it's an excellent film, but I think the problem was there that you were singing the praises of Kazakhstan to the tune of the national anthem.
Yes, I think maybe this was a problem.
Yeah. Right.
Kazakhstan is the greatest country in the world, and all other countries are run by little girls.
Yeah, I think that might have been part of the problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, Borat, here's the one thing I've always wanted to ask you, my friend, and I'm so glad that you're here today so that we can have this conversation. Do we have it wrong in our country, sir, with the way we treat our women? Do you think that we give them too much credit?
Yes, in my country, we're very different. I see you let women drive a car.
Yes, we do.
In my country, we say to let a woman drive a car is like to let a monkey fly a plane. Very dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous.
We stopped letting monkeys do that ever since the Astana air crash of 2002.
Is that right?
Well, I think that was wise. Yeah.
Speaking of women, Bart, we heard about the passing of your wife. We just want to give you our condolences.
No problem. She was boring.
Okay. All right, then.
For instance, we do not have cages for our women in this country, and that must have been something for you to really have trouble getting used to. No,
yes,
we do not.
It is very strange, because how do you stop them from running away? Yeah. Do you chain them instead?
Well, no, we try to treat them with love, and then they try to treat us back with love.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I saw you on David Letterman. How was that appearance for you? Was that fun?
Yes, it was nice. And later in the show, I do some dancing with this pop star, Beck.
Yes.
Although it was, I must say, it was a great honor to dance with this little girl.
Beck isn't a girl at all, or Beck is a boy.
What?
Borat, will you be spending more time in America, or are you happy and content to stay in your country now for a while?
I would like to come back to America. At the moment, there is a problem gaining entry because of sex crime.
What? Oh, really? What sex crime?
It is, let us just say that it has been resolved since I have proved that the horse was above the age of consent.
Oh, that's good. Borat, that's ugly.
Borat, if this film is a success, I'm sure they're going to ask you to make more films. I know one of your co-stars in this film is Pamela Anderson. Are there other actresses you'd like to work with in the future if you make more films?
She was not a star in the film, but she is in the film is about my journey to try and meet her and marry her.
Yes. Are there other celebrities in America you'd like to meet?
Yes, I would very much like to meet this singer, Madonna. It is a great testament to freedom of your country that you have allowed this transvestite to become so popular. In my country, he would be in a circus.
It's not a he, Borat, it's actually a woman.
In this area, down in this area, it looked like there are two monkeys fighting in a hammock.
Well, you must be very careful. If you'll take some advice, Borat, be very careful if you get to meet Madonna, because she will try to adopt some of your children and grandchildren away from you.
Yes, this is why I have brought my grandson with me.
Good.
Your grandson?
I have brought my son, Bilak, who is 11 years old, his wife, and their new child.
Right.
That's
who
great.
We are hoping to sell to Madonna.
And okay.
What are your other kids' names before we go? Because I'm curious.
I have three children, Bilak, Biram, and Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Borat, in our remaining moments, for maybe people who are listening who are not familiar with the great work you've done in journalism over the years, please explain to them why they need to go see your movie when it opens tomorrow.
My government have made it very clear that if this movie is not a success, I will be executed.
Wow. Oh, all right. Well, that's all the incentive I think we need. Yes.
That's some pressure.
And Borat, will you be covering once again the running of the Jew this year in Kazakhstan?
Yes, we have a ceremony each year called the Running of the Jew, where two Jews chase 1,000 very brave men down a street.
Well, I've seen the footage of that, and it's a remarkable event you have in your country.
Yes. Do you have one here?
No, we don't. We have the running of the bulls here, but it's very different.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. All right. Well, we have just time for one last question, Borat. What is the biggest thing that you learned about America from being here?
I learned many things. For example, your system of democracy, because in my country, we do not have the man who has the most votes who wins, but it is the man who can suspend a car battery from his testes satchel for the longest.
His testes satchel.
I wish that we would adopt your system of government here. We couldn't do any worse. The film is called Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. It opens everywhere tomorrow. BoratMovie.com is the website. Borat, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Okay. All right.
KRQ FM passing Los Angeles, almost 8 o'clock. Yes, Barry Pepper will be joining us after the news. First, though, Ralph is here with the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Kevin Federline's writing an autobiography.
Writing?
The New York Post says Federline is eager for people to learn about who he was before he hooked up with Britney Spears.
That's the real story.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says the book is definitely on. He might need some help actually writing the book, however. I haven't done it yet. You know, I'll get a ghostwriter in there, Federline said.
Ghostwrite the book. Ghostwrite the book.
Dude.
He's got ghost singers. He's got ghost songwriters. He's got a ghost. He's got ghost money from his ghost wife. This guy does everything secondhand.
Yeah.
I think he would need help reading a book, much less writing one.
All of his shows are canceling. Is that just my impression or is it true?
No, he's lost three shows so far.
Because of lack of sales.
Cleveland, Atlantic City, and New York.
All in really tiny venues.
Not big music cities, any of those. Exactly. Not big entertainment cities.
You know what I have. Like people, when they hear it, they hear the record, when they see exactly what's put down, then they're going to have to give me respect.
Okay, all right. They have to give you respect.
It's funny you talk about who's going to write it for him. Who's going to read it to him? That's what I want to know after it's done.
At least
he wants us to understand him, and he doesn't understand. We want him just to go away. That's the problem. It's a failure to communicate between Federline and us. Someone has to get him the word.
All right.
Anyway, Nicole Richie doesn't have an eating problem.
Really?
Well, that's good news.
She's dying.
She told Us Weekly magazine, I'm not in rehab, and I don't have an eating disorder. I'm getting all the help that I need, and I'm taking care of my health. Well, just look at her. You can see she's healthy as a horse.
Who's dying?
Yes. Yeah. Well, she's been starved.
Nothing but bones.
It's frightening.
It really
it's
is.
It's frightening. Apparently, Us Weekly reports that at a recent lunch in La Scala in Beverly Hills, Nicole went to the bathroom just as her main course arrived. And while she was away from her table, her friends took half of the pasta off her plate and put it on their own plate, so thinking that she might be more inclined to eat a small, just a little portion, you know, so she wouldn't feel like she was eating too much.
Right.
She took three bites and said she was done and pushed the plate away. So.
I just threw up.
Maybe she was doing that before she sat down to eat.
Did that story turn out to be true about her going to the hospital and trying to find out why she couldn't gain weight?
Yeah, they said she's been there. She's getting blood tests in a place at Newport Beach, and she says she's fine. She's getting the help she needs, and she's taking care of her health.
How about that?
She's never looked healthier. Speaking of healthy broads, Courtney Love has a new boyfriend.
Yeah?
Star Magazine has the pictures of the 48-year-old making out with a 20-year-old British guy named Jamie Burke, who's a musician in England. He's also been linked with Lindsay Lohan and Kate Moss, by the way. So, see what getting sober will do for you?
I saw the video of her at her book signing, just drinking and smoking.
Really? Yes.
At the signing, it was hilarious.
Yeah, but she's drinking soda pop or something, right?
Probably so,
of course.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan of Scary Movie and not another teen movie, there's a new TV series going to be on Comedy Central, just been announced by The Hollywood Reporter, that you might want to watch. It's called Not Another High School Show, which will be a parody about all those high school shows that Bean loves so much, ranging from Dawson's Creek to The O.C., Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They're going to hit them all in one big parody series.
Fantastic.
So there might be some comedy there.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like, each show will be about a different...
No, it'll be an ongoing series, but the storylines will all be sort of riffs off of those types of shows.
That sounds good.
I've been trying to watch that Friday Night Lights because Bean likes it so much.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show.
That's a good show.
It's got so many elements of that Dawson's Creek kind of thing. Oh, the guy's sleeping with his paralyzed best friend's girlfriend and all that kind of... I can't...
That's good stuff.
No, it's not. It's not good stuff.
Who hurt you, Ralph?
It's not as bad as Lost, don't get me wrong, but still, still angry about the whole Lost episode.
Kyle Chandler, though, how great is he?
He's
that
great.
Show?
He's a great actor. I would like to see more about him and less about the teenage
romance. Yeah, I agree. I'm more interested in the coach's family and the interaction with the town and stuff like that. But I do like that show, and I know that it is on life support. The ratings have been so poor, but I'm still
pretty good. It's pretty good. And finally, the Hollywood screen duo we've been waiting to see. Robert De Niro and 50 Cent are making a movie together.
Hmm.
It's called New Orleans. A thriller set in New Orleans about a cop who thinks his partner died in Hurricane Katrina. That's De Niro. Only discovered that he was murdered. And he has to take on a new partner to help investigate what happened. And 50 will be his new partner.
It's the Wacky 50?
The Wacky 50. It's Midnight Run all over again. Robert De Niro and a wacky partner. It's going to be hilarious. So
I don't know if I saw the preview for that one or another one that he's in, 50 Cent, but they introduced him just as Curtis Jackson. They don't even say 50 Cent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
In one of the trailers that I saw.
Maybe that's his acting name. He's going under his real name.
I guess.
Like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I guess.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Carl Beauford. Excuse me, Carter Beauford. Well, Carl's a good name for Beauford,
sure.
too. He is, of course, the drummer for the Dave Matthews Band. He's 49 years old today. David Schwimmer, one of the Friends actors. Remember that show Friends? It was on years ago?
Yeah, kind of.
Not familiar with that.
He's 40 years old today. That's got to mean he was 35 when he was playing a 27-year-old on that show. If he's 40 today. Fieldy from Korn's 37 years old. And Nelly the Rapper is 32. He's still wearing the Band-Aids?
No, I don't think so. No,
he took the Band-Aid off. The Band-Aids off?
It healed, whatever
the thing
it was.
Finally healed? Oh, thank God. Yeah. You know, you should have seen a doctor long beforehand. Because that must have got infected.
It was a long time.
You must have had it lanced, whatever that thing was. Must have been a carbuncle. That's what I'm guessing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our guest is Barry Pepper. He can currently be seen on the big screen in Flags of Our Fathers, a terrific movie directed by Clint Eastwood about the taking of Iwo Jima by the U.S. over the Japanese in World War II and the repercussions of the men who raised the famous flag on Iwo Jima. Barry Pepper, welcome back to K-Rock. Good to see you, man.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did I see you in the other room laughing away at us talking to Borat? Is that guy the best or what?
I like you. I like sex.
You're a pretty good Borat.
Man, he's great. I've been listening to him for years or watching his Ali G
right.
DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's, he's great.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, the Ali G show is the name of it. Da Ali G, I guess.
Yeah,
D-A.
Right.
And you can track, if you could track that down, there's like two seasons, three seasons?
Yes. That's right. Two seasons on DVD. Are you going to go see the movie this weekend, Barry?
Yeah, I'd like to. I think actually tomorrow I only have a few appointments, so I'm going to definitely check it out.
It looks funny.
Yeah, it does.
Flags of Our Fathers is in theaters now. Kevin and I have both seen it. And you know what? I had so many thoughts when I was watching that movie this week, Barry. There are so many great stories in history that the rest of us would never know about if somebody didn't write a book or make a movie about it. Just so many stories that would be completely lost if somebody didn't take the time. And the story of, you know, the guys that you all are playing, and this is one of those stories that I'm glad has found the light of day because I never would have heard about it otherwise.
That's right. It's sort of like the Harry Truman saying, the only thing new in the world is the history we don't know. And this is one, wonderful chapter of American history that sort of fell through the cracks of time, really. I mean, in terms of the backstory behind the flag raising, the battle was horrifically archaic. And
right.
in 36 days, there was 21,000 Japanese killed and 7,000 U.S. Marines killed. So it was horrible. It was horrible, horrible
battle.
You know,
it's bizarre because I'm sure a lot of, I'm taking for granted that a lot of younger people don't know history that well.
Right.
When I saw this, I really didn't know if it was a true story or if it was just they took that famous picture of the Marines raising the flag and just made up complete fiction out of it. I didn't have any idea until I was asking Bean a few minutes ago, and he said, yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, extremely. In fact,
And Dave, the King of Mexico, answers our phones. He's like, hey, everything I know from World War II, I watched in a movie. That's my history
right.
lesson.
Yeah.
That's what I know about it, only.
Yeah, and Clint is of that generation. He was in the military during the Korean War. He was a teenager during Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
So he's of that sort of old-school sensibilities. And so anything you see on film, if there's a... if there's a soldier that is killed and decapitated or something happens,
right.
that really happened. That character, it was a man who lived and died on Iwo Jima. And so there's nothing salacious or provocative about his
right.
The scenes that he shoots. It's all historical. And
well,
the book was incredible.
It's so remarkable you bring that up. At the end of the movie, over the credits, you see photographs of the real
right.
Iwo Jima and the real soldiers that y'all are playing, and it looks like you guys could all be twins. It's unbelievable how realistic it is and how realistic the battle scenes were compared to the real pictures of the real event. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that was sort of conscious design by Clint. He didn't have a boot camp, and there was no rehearsals, really. I mean, we'd have one take, and we'd be moving on, and he just shoots so fast that's how he sort of captured this really electric energy with all these young actors. He hired, true to age, these boys were 18, 19, 20-year-old
right.
kids, and several of our actors, like Jamie Bell and Joseph Cross, were 19 years old at the time that we were filming. And so he wanted to you know, to make the film emblematic, a true tribute to to the boys that died there.
Why was it important for us to take that ugly ass dirt island? I don't understand why we had to go through there to get to where we wanted to go.
It was a strategic point because there was two landing strips, and the only way that the B-29s could get from the Marianas to Japan was a 14-hour flight, and they just couldn't make it, and they were so susceptible to either low fuel or Japanese gunners taking them out that it was a strategic point to take Iwo Jima to take Japan.
You know, it's funny. There were a couple of parallels, and I don't think this was intentional from Clint Eastwood. But there were a couple of parallels to the Iraqi War that I thought of while I was watching the movie. First of all, we just had a month in Iraq where over 100 U.S. soldiers died, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. In this movie, 100 guys are dying in 10 minutes, right?
In the first day, 2,500 were lost.
I mean, this is just carnage like we haven't seen in forever, thank God.
Well, a lot of us have grown up with the technology and everything else where they really do. I mean, I know some people don't believe this, but they really do try to kill as few people as possible.
Yeah.
And they try to make the bombs go exactly where they want to go. But in World War II, it wasn't like that. They just mowed people down.
It was a total war of attrition, this one. In fact, General Kiribayashi of the Japanese, who led the Japanese soldiers, knew that they would lose Iwo Jima. And General Howland M. Smith knew that they would win Iwo Jima, knew that the Marines would take it. But it was just a matter of attrition, how many lives would be lost in that month. So if you sort of break it down, it was like 1,000 men were dying a day for those 36 days. You know, this is like an island of, you know, a sulfuric volcanic island, a third the size of Manhattan.
Right.
You know, with 100,000 men battling, you know, for 30 days.
And, wow, you know, incredible. Just think of the bodies building up day after day. Yeah. That in itself is incomprehensible.
Well, what's miraculous is that we sort of, all of us don't really know a lot about that battle. And yet when you
look
at the statistics, you just go, what? Yeah. How did that fall through the cracks of time?
Yeah.
The other point that I thought of when I was watching the film is, and I'm sure this has been brought to your attention, Barry, if you didn't already think of it, is it's no different today with the marketing of the war. I mean, your film, a lot of the film is about the aftermath of Iwo Jima and the guys who survived versus the guys who didn't. And we see that same thing going on today. I mean, Pat Tillman is a perfect example of a guy who the military, you know, great guy, we lost him, and the military took advantage of that to try to popularize that war by saying, look at the kind of quality guys we're sending over there, and we need your help and your support. Very similar to what happened back then in 1945, right?
Yeah, all those themes are still so present, and they're just time eternal. I mean, propaganda and the sort of less than noble machinations of war, you know, are just continuous, and they'll be here long after you and I are gone.
Did they really have to go to the people and say, we need money to fight that war? Did that really happen?
Yeah, truly, $20 billion was raised by that photograph.
But that's a lot of money in 1945, by the way.
They didn't have the credit cards we have today.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, if they had to get popular support and have people go out and purchase things to make sure that they could keep firing bullets, it would be a whole different world.
Yeah. It was a very different and more altruistic time, I think, as well. People had they had a sense that there was a need to raise money and a need to sort of be unified and support this war effort. Whereas today, I think we're, at least my generation, is far more cynical about.
Right. Well, it's also a very different war.
Very different,
yeah.
We got to take a break. Actor Barry Pepper is here. He is terrific in Flags of Our Fathers, directed by Clint Eastwood. It's in theaters now. When we come back, I want to talk more about Clint. I want to talk about going to Iwo Jima. I want to talk about Iceland. There's a bunch of stuff we need to ask you about this movie. Barry, if you can stick around for one more.
Great.
Fantastic. Okay. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Lisa has bad stories.
I'm sorry.
I don't like Lisa's stories.
They're not sexy.
Kevin Abeen Show. It is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. We have Barry Pepper in the studio with us. He, of course, is in Flags of Our Fathers, which is out now. And Clint Eastwood was the director. What was that like, working with him?
He's a machine, man. He, on and off the set, you know, after a long day.
Talk right into that.
After there a long day on set, he'd be in the gym every night working out, pumping iron. He's 40 years my senior. He's 76 years old, and he'd outlift you all day long.
So he'd work all day shooting the movie, and then he would go work out.
Yeah, he's in just an absolutely amazing condition. And 76 now.
And everybody says his movies come in on time and under budget and are the least stressful movie sets anyone's making, right?
Yeah, they are, because he doesn't put up with sort of the egos, the narcissistic egos of actors, you know, being an actor for 50 years himself.
Right.
you know, he trumps everybody's filmography.
Right. So, right, sure.
Yeah, and no so, kidding. You know, if the one take that you get is crap, you know, he'll say just that. That's enough of that crap. You know? You don't get cut or action. It's just, he's very, you know, his sensibilities are very straight to the point. And he just doesn't waste a lot of time pampering egos.
How was that for you, though, as an actor, generally only having one take? Did you feel cheated at all? Or no. Like you could have done better and you didn't get a chance?
Well, I think the narcissistic mind of the actor is always...
Yeah. Let me try that again, please.
Yeah, I can do better. it's electric.
You just have to trust him.
Yeah, you do. And you it kind of raises the bar for everyone.
Right.
You know, you feel like you just have to be completely and totally prepared. And it's kind of a... You're running on adrenaline and nerves with him because you only get that one take and there's no rehearsal and there's explosions going off and
right.
machine gun fire and tanks and grenades and nobody's, you know, told
I'm
going
to strap that microphone to your head if you don't talk into it. You keep moving.
Man, you guys are better at this than me.
No, it's a very... talking to microphones. I don't know why.
No, it's a very directional mic, so when you get off to the side,
right
we lose
there.
You.
Sorry.
That's all right.
No, it is. It's an electric way to work because, you know, they don't tell you about the choreography of the explosions and the machine gun fire. And so,
how does
so
that not throw you off?
Well, he's capturing, like, really visceral
reaction.
Well, you're really terrified when you're filming the movie, right?
Terrified.
So he just scares the hell out of you. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Tell us, for people who haven't seen the movie, tell us about, and this is from a book from the son of one of the people who raised the flag, right?
That's right. John Doc Bradley was the Navy corpsman medic that was one
tell
of the flag raisers.
The story about the double flag raising. I don't know history that much. I had never heard that.
Yeah, on the fourth day on Iwo Jima, I think there were 7,700 casualties. And they were basically sent up to Mount Suribachi, which is this 550-foot tall, you know, mountain, sulfuric, you know, volcanic rock on Iwo Jima, to raise a flag in order to just kind of rally the troops.
An American flag?
Yeah.
Right.
So a unit of men were sent up just to kind of give the guys something to cheer about. And
right.
So they raised this flag, and everybody cheered, and the ship's whistles blew. And then a general came ashore after all the smoke had settled, and said, I want that flag. That means, you know, the Marine Corps for another 500 years. I want that symbol.
Right.
And the colonel, Chandler Johnson, said, you know, that's, you know, BS.
No way.
I'm not giving that up. That's mine. My men, 7,700 of them, have been lost to raise that flag.
Right.
And so he sent up my unit of men, and we replaced it with another flag so that we could give the general the fake flag.
And,
the Marine Corps could retain their personal the original flag.
And the picture that we've all seen a thousand times is of the second raising?
That's right, yeah. And so, I mean, really, the first flag came down, the second flag went up, and there was no fanfare, there was no cheering, there was nothing.
Right.
It was just like an absolutely...
Matter of fact,
there was a dude with a camera.
That's right. He was, but it wasn't staged.
Right.
The guys were, if you see in the film, it's absolutely emblematic of how it happened. It just was... A matter of fact,
just
it was like, oh, the colonel says, raise a new flag. What, was there a flag shortage? What's going on here? Okay, sure, fine.
Why'd they take it down? All right, they put it back up.
Fine, that's whatever.
Fine.
All right, moving on.
What's remarkable, and the rest of the story, as the expression goes, that none of us knew about, really, is what it was like for those guys to be called heroes for raising a flag, which was, as you just pointed out, Barry, which meant nothing to them,
right.
Which was just, hey, something they told us we got to do. And they were considered heroes, yet there were so many other way more heroic things done, including other heroic things done by these same men that were not lauded because people didn't really know about them or didn't care about them because that wasn't the image.
Yeah, and they knew that they were being asked to play a role in a necessary illusion, and
right.
That the bond tour was essential, and they needed to raise that $14 billion. They, like I said, they ended up raising $20 billion. They knew that was a noble cause, but. What tore them up inside was that they were being lionized in the limelight as these heroes whined and dined around America. Meanwhile, their buddies were still back on Iwo Jima, dying by the thousands. And
right.
So I think what tore them up was the fact that they were being lauded as heroes, and they just didn't feel representative of
in
that.
This age of so many people, like the Paris Hiltons of the world and different people, who just want to be famous for being famous, it's
right.
So
yes.
Absurd to think that somebody would... feel badly or awkward or terrible about the fact that they're being called a hero. It's just not done.
No, no, it's true. And it becomes so almost epithetical. You save a cat from a tree and you're a hero nowadays. Right. It's just yes. so watered down. And yet right. you think of that generation of men, they just weren't able to talk to their families about what had happened in these battles in Vietnam. I mean, we know that very yep. well. The veterans just, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder wasn't diagnosed back then. So right. they just dealt with it by, you know, putting it deep down.
Yeah.
And so these films, you know, they tend to open that dialogue for the families.
Exactly, yeah. I also thought it was fascinating because I being a big Johnny Cash fan, of course, I knew the story of Ira Hayes from that famous song that I'm yeah. sure you know, Barry, right, that yep. You know, that tells you all about the story. But in the movie, to see what it's like for an American Indian who joins the military and really is a hero and really is a great soldier and really mm-hmm. does love the country and give it all, and then he comes back. And there are bars that won't even serve him because yeah. he's an Indian.
That was a heartbreaking narrative, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was, and it's so jarring in 2006 to see that kind of outward, open, accepted, institutionalized racism that we forget was really only a couple of generations ago.
I mean, we harbor it. Yeah. We harbor the racism and we try to cover it over and maybe no one will notice.
That's our goal. The movie does work on so many levels. It's really something you ought to see. And I think we got a clip of Barry Pepper in the film where your character, Strank, is being offered a promotion and maybe isn't crazy about it.
We're promoting you to platoon sergeant.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Trouble is, I already told my men I'd see them through this.
But this isn't your first time through this. You don't need to prove anything.
No, sir.
Platoon sergeant put you further away from the bullets.
I already gave him my word, sir. I told him to bring them all home to their mothers, which means I already lied to half of them. Can't lie to the rest.
You're doing that scene with actor Neil McDonough, I think, who's got the creepiest eyes, man. That guy just wigs me out. What's up with that dude? Hey, Barry, let me ask you one more thing, because I don't know when I'll ever get the chance to talk to you again, and this is a personal thing, but you got to film in Iceland. All these battle scenes were done in Iceland, right?
Yeah, we were staying in Reykjavik, and it's wild. You fly into Reykjavik, and it's just 360 degrees, like, volcanic wasteland for as far as the eye can see.
That sounds
ugly. Pretty depressing yeah. when you first get there.
Why do you like it so much, Bean? You love Iceland.
But right?
Iceland is my favorite place I've ever visited.
Oh, but
it's
you're
so
exactly,
beautiful.
You're exactly right. Then you get out into the north and you see the glaciers and the geysers and the beautiful lush green countryside, and it really is a beautiful, beautiful place.
It's so beautiful. And the Icelandic chicks, am I lying, Barry, if I say the hottest chicks on earth in Iceland?
I have no idea. I've been married
Why would
for
you
9 years.
Well, it's a terrific film, folks. Flags of Our Fathers in theaters now. Barry Pepper is great. It's got a great cast. Jesse Bradford is great in it. Adam Beach, who plays Ira Hayes, is great in it. Paul Walker, J.B. Bell, Neil McDonough, Ryan Phillippe is terrific as Doc, and you guys got to go see this movie. I think you'll really love it. And Barry, it's always great to talk to you on K-Rock. We really appreciate you coming in, man.
Thank you. And there's a duet film to follow in February called Letters from Iwo Jima, from the Japanese perspective, an entirely separate film, a revolutionary approach to the war film genre.
That's a great idea to do it from both sides.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Fantastic. All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. A little surprise for you, Bean. Got somebody on the phone I think you might like to meet.
All right. Who is it?
Hey, Kevin Bean, you know who it is?
It's Mole. Aww. Mole.
It's Mole.
How you doing, Mole?
What are you guys doing? Happy Halloween.
We're doing our show. Halloween was Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Not Halloween. Halloween.
Halloween.
And that's every day.
Days after Halloween when you got a bunch of candy.
I see. Okay.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, Mole, what can we do for you? I haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
You guys were hiring for the CIA.
Oh, well, we're not hiring for the CIA. They are playing a commercial on our radio station. Here's a tiny little piece of it.
Are you ready for a world of challenge? A world of possibilities? A world of ambiguity and adventure? Be a part of the National Clandestine Service at the Central Intelligence Agency.
Now that's a commercial that they're playing on our station
to... I thought it was a summer intern job.
No.
Mole, I think they're serious. I think that's an actual recruiting tool. Is they're just trying to get the word out there that they're always hiring new agents, and if anyone listening wants to call them, they can.
Sign me up, dude.
Well, no, not
I
you,
work
Mole.
For the CIA, they wouldn't have me in the mafia. That's that song.
Mole, I think they do a background check, probably.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got great qualifications. Oh. I could totally. I'm stealthy.
You're
I
stealthy.
I used to rip off lighters at the 7. I hardly ever got caught.
Okay.
And I could totally keep a secret. Like the time my buddy Dennis totally hooked up with my other friend Scooter's old lady behind a dumpster at Shakey's.
Okay, but Mole.
Oh, they're probably listening.
Yeah, that's what my point is. It's not really keeping a secret very well, exactly.
I get my driver's license back in 3 months.
Well, I'm guessing that you're going to need that when you apply.
Yeah. You know what? If I was in the CIA, I could work up a total tolerance for testicle electrodes. I mean, awesome party trick, right?
I'm guessing that you're not the type of person that they're looking for.
I could torture.
Okay, Mole, not every job is for every person. I just
waterboarding.
Yeah. It's not the same as wakeboarding. It's a completely different skill, Mole. Yeah.
What are the benefits? I need insurance, man. I've been doing too much self-dentistry.
I'm guessing they would have insurance, but again, they're...
Sweet, because my sink looks like Saw 3.
Oh, Mole.
Oh, man.
I think they do drug tests, too.
Yeah, I think they drug test, Mole.
Yeah, maybe I could be located up in Mendocino or Humboldt or something. You know?
Okay, I don't think it
worked.
Right, it doesn't work that way. You can't just say, "Ooh, here's a cool place I'd like to go. Send me." It doesn't work that way.
Mm. Yeah, this may not be for you, Mole.
Hey, is Federline playing Acoustic Christmas this year?
Yes, he is. Okay, we have to go. Thank you for the call. You know, maybe the CIA isn't advertising to our audience specifically. It sounds like it's a generic commercial that they
produce. Right, yeah, I know.
Like, for example, Alaska Airlines. They know how to reach the Kevin and Bean audience. Remember this?
How would you like to have a job where you can soar to new heights?
Where you'll be part of a great familia.
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one got a lot of notice. Sure.
They know how to reach the K-Rock mm-hmm. audience. And if people from the CIA are listening, you might consider using this one.
Have you ever wanted to be a spy? Come to the interview.
If you're looking for a good job to get your parents off your back, the CIA is the place for you.
The CIA is like a gang, only it's a good gang.
You get to blast people and everything. They even give you guns, vato.
They need people who can sneak into foreign countries and blend in. You got lots of experience doing that, going through tunnels, over borders.
You got that right.
Come to the interview.
And you get to travel all over the place, eh? Finally, you get to leave Boyle Heights. You can go to, like, Colombia and Afghanistan and all these flight places.
And you're gonna have, like, crazy sex, eh? I mean, look at James Bond. He bangs a different girl in every movie.
Come to the interview.
No documentation? No problem. You won't exist anyway, so nobody will ask you for papers.
And you've been pretending not to exist for a long time to hide from your child support, eh?
So come join the CIA familia.
Come to the interview, because in the CIA, mi casa es su casa.
Come to the interview.
Go Raiders.
My head spun a little bit going right from Borat into the freaking World War II. I gotta tell you, Mary Pepper. It's a roller coaster ride here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 8:57. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I have got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Tenacious D in...
The Pick of Destiny!
It's the greatest band in the world and the greatest motion picture in the world. This is Thursday, November 9th, the Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. I'll be there on the red carpet hanging out. Please come down and join me, won't you? I've got time for three winners now. Let's say callers 10, 11, and 12. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10, 11, and 12 will each get a four-pack of passes. So you get to bring three of your friends. Come on down and see the movie. We're going to have the guys in talking about the movie next week, I'm hoping. I'm
Love
guessing.
That. Great. Hope so, too.
More importantly, Monday.
Yes.
See, Heroes for me is my new Lost. I'm kind of, Lost is losing me a little bit. I'm right. A little cranky at Lost. But this Heroes thing, I'm just completely enveloped in this Heroes thing.
Are you going to drive us crazy about the cheerleader?
And Hayden Panettiere is coming in on Monday, who plays Claire, the indestructible cheerleader.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a more beautiful woman on television right now than this Hayden.
She's pretty hot.
She's outstanding. And... you could kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You could have sex with her until she's dead, and then she'd be okay.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm just saying, it's a plus. It might never happen, but in the back of your head, you got to know, if I F this girl to death, she'll be okay. She'll come bouncing back. I don't have to go to jail, which
How's
is
a plus?
It's a plus.
I'm sure
How's
she's thrilled
a plus?
To hear
Michael
that,
Michael?
By the
How's
way?
A plus?
This is what I was wondering, though, Mike. Remember, Ralph, whatever your name is.
Yeah,
remember
I'm
when
Ralph.
She had the autopsy and, you know, they had her chest all open and everything like that.
Yeah, she had her filleted like a fillet.
Right, which was cool. But the doctor is the one who pulled the stick out of her neck that killed her.
Out of
right?
her head, out of her brain, yeah.
Right. If the doctor hadn't been there to do that, it looks like she would have stayed dead. It looks like she did need somebody's assistance there to be able to come back to life.
Apparently, if you impale her in the brain... You can kill her. But once that thing is moved, Once that implement is removed from her brain, her brain heals up. So,
technically, if the stick stayed there, she'd stay dead.
Every superhero has their Achilles.
If she gets damaged, her body can, her cells can repair themselves. Mm-hmm. But I guess if the damage continues, you know, it's not there to be left to its own accord, then she will stay damaged. Yes.
Okay.
But like she went into the garbage disposal to get that ring back, and
that was awesome.
Come out her hands all gnarled. It's all gnarled.
Yeah.
And then, boop, fine. Good as new. She's pulling cupcakes out of the oven last week. And you can smell the flesh burning off of her hands as she holds the hot tray.
Does she feel it?
No, she doesn't,
doesn't feel it.
No, doesn't feel it. Blows on her hands. She's good as new. Hi, how are you?
She's lucky she has the superpower because she is a klutz.
Yeah.
That is true.
She's bad
that She'd be
way.
Dead like five times
see
already.
How, see how evolution works, my friend?
That's right.
It's perfect. Anyway, we'll be talking to Hayden on Monday, and I can't wait.
Yeah, be good.
Kevin Federline is writing an autobiography to help people understand who he is.
Yes.
Kevin, we know exactly who you are. Save yourself the time and trouble. No questions here about who you are.
Yeah, the whole book could be, I'm a douche nozzle. That's it. We got it.
It's one page. That's all you need.
Due to Kevin's intelligence, people are guessing it's going to be a coloring book, the autobiography. Stay inside the lines of his wife beater if you can. Oh, this John Kerry thing.
I love politics.
Blown
it's so
way
fun,
out of proportion. He made a bad, lame-ass joke about how stupid President Bush was because we're trapped in Iraq. And he told kids to stay in college because if you don't, you'll be dumb and then you'll be stuck in Iraq. And so the Republicans take and they say, oh, he's calling everybody in Iraq, all the troops, dumb. That's what he's saying. It was this bonehead thing for him to say, but now they're really blowing it away out of proportion.
And he handled it badly after the fact.
He didn't apologize
by not apologizing
afterwards.
For his
Absolutely.
Mistake.
Yeah. Totally his bad. Don't get me wrong. But they're trying to blow this out of whack.
I don't know what they got.
Anyway, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is the right winger over there on The View, that show with all those yentas talking all day long, she said, and I quote, that that John Kerry is Mel Gibson without the booze. Regarding his remarks on Tuesday. So,
okay.
I didn't get that at all.
So he's a hateful, hateful man, according to her.
It is weird that John Kerry somehow has become an election issue in 2006 when no one cares what he says or thinks. He's not running for anything. He's a meaningless, powerless man.
Smoke and mirrors, man. They got to give you a look over here, look over here. They got to find something to distract you with, right? Cindy Margolis, we talked about her, the at one time most downloaded woman on the internet. You're getting butt naked for Playboy magazine? That's on newsstands tomorrow. I just want to give you a little heads up.
Oh, really?
Should you be so inclined to pick it up?
Well, all right then.
No prenup between Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon, according to TMZ.com. That means Ryan could cash in with a sizable chunk of Reese's substantial fortune. She gets about $20 million a motion picture. So he could cash in and run off of that little Australian number. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
The one without all the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what the law is for, though, right?
Well, no, but it's a nice byproduct.
Okay.
And great news. We've got two big screen versions of popular TV shows in the works. Daily Variety has announced that Kung Fu, the popular series from the 1970s, is being made into a big screen budget version by Albert and Alan Hughes. The Hughes brothers are taking a crack at it. That should be
It'll be Kung Fu first. Hi-ya-ho! Ask questions later.
And the reason I'm excited, the Wachowski brothers, who brought you, of course, The Matrix, Larry and Andy, they've announced they'll be doing a live-action, big-screen version of the animated 60s TV classic Speed Racer. Speed Racer. Oh, how I loved me speed in the Mach 5. That Mach 5 was the coolest car ever.
I don't share your enthusiasm. I don't know anything about
that. Mach 5 had a button on the dash. You'd hit it, and a mechanical bird would fly out and fly a message to somebody for you. That's how cool a Mach 5 was.
What?
Mach 5, I used to have, like, skis on hydraulics underneath. If you needed to jump over a chasm, you could hit a button and go, yonk, 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 and it would jump over a chasm for you. Pretty cool stuff on the Mach 5.
Yeah, I'm not a comic book geek, so I'm not...
It's not a comic book. It's a cartoon.
Don't care.
How did you not watch Speed Racer growing up as a kid?
Just didn't.
Pops Racer, his dad, and the man who designed the Mach 5?
Pops Racer.
Speed. I put the blueprints for the Mach 5 in the windshield. It was invisible ink on the windshield so they could find it. Racer X, his brother, who could never know. Speed must never know that I'm his brother.
Why couldn't he know he was his brother?
Because he was Racer X. He was a secret racer. He had a big X on his face.
Why do you have to be a secret racer?
Oh, you just don't get it.
I don't.
You don't get it.
What about my girlfriend Trixie, by the way? Who's going to play her
Trixie,
is all I care about.
Oh, Trixie. Trixie. That's what Speed should say. And Spritel, his little brother. Speed. Speed. He's hiding the trunk all the time with Chim Chim, his pet monkey.
He had a pet monkey?
Yes.
Why would he hide in the trunk?
Because Spritel was too young to go on the dangerous missions that Speed Racer had to go on, so he would tag along. He would hide in the trunk.
I'm sorry, Speed.
Spritel, you shouldn't have hide it in the trunk.
I know. I'm sorry, Speed.
Every time.
Every time. It's great.
Come on, Kevin. Get on board with the Speed Racer. What's wrong with you?
Gay.
What? Doesn't this sound like the best show ever? Just now, aren't you sorry you missed it now that you've heard us describe
it? His mechanic, Sparky?
Cut,
Sparky?
Print, gay.
Sparky the mechanic? Speed, you better be careful. Mach 5 isn't running well.
Is this guy gay or what?
I'm not worried, Sparky. I must win this race. It's the giant pineapple race.
It's the giant pineapple race.
Yeah, they hide diamonds inside a pineapple, and the winner would get a bunch of pineapples at the race.
You're not wrong. You just maybe less than right.
Oh, Kevin. You don't get it, man. You're dead to me.
You don't know anything that's good. That's what I'm telling you right now.
Speed Racer.
All right.
All right. It's Speed Racer. We got it.
Mach 5.
No.
That's the sound effect.
It would jump over things.
It would jump over things. Yeah. That's what you're telling me.
It's great.
You got anything else there?
Speed. The blood prints are the windshield.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Fieldy from Korn's 37 years old today. Nelly, the rapper, is 32 years old today. Schwimmy, David Schwimmer from Friends, is 40 years old today. And that's all I got. I'm out.
After Speed Racer, you should be.
Speed, the blueprints are the windshield.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursdays are awesome, by the way, because you know we got a new episode of The Office tonight at NBC on 8:30. We're very excited this year. We've been able to talk to a lot of cast members, and we've really been looking forward to this one. She is a writer and an actress, Mindy Kaling, on the line. Of course, you know her from The Office. She plays Kelly on the show. Mindy, thank you for joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning. Boy, it's awesome to have you. You are so great on that show. And it's weird. How does this work where you guys get hired as writers and then they say, okay, we need somebody to put in front of the camera? You go do it. I've never heard of a TV show that does that before.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. They just throw millions and millions of dollars at each of us. And we say, fine. By the way, I'm such a huge fan of your show, guys. I feel like wherever I am, everyone's like, it's like everyone's such a huge fan. And they're like, give me a shout out. Please shout me out.
Yeah, well, do you have a list of names?
Like 4 minutes on the show being like, my boy's at Hancock Park, my boy's at Miracle Mile, all my boys up in Silver Lake.
You got a lot of boys, Mindy.
Mindy has prepared her speech for if she ever wins a Grammy. She's got it all ready to go here. No,
yeah,
that's
I've got tons of boys in every neighborhood.
Sure.
Nice.
That is very kind of you. We very much appreciate that, and we are big fans of your show as well. No, seriously, I know you made a joke about it, but how did it happen? I mean, were you an actress before you joined the writing staff of The Office?
I was an actress, but that wasn't the way that I knew I was going to like make my money in life. I loved comedy writing, but I always had acted like in school plays and things like that, and mm-hmm. then Greg thought he liked my look, and when he hired me, I didn't know there was a little clause about acting in my contract.
Oh.
So, and then in the second episode of the first season, he said, I think The Office needs like a 20-something Indian girl, and I was like, all right, sign me up.
So that's how it works, huh?
Awesome.
I was just in the right place. It was literally being in the right place at the right time.
Did you have a hand in creating the Kelly character? Did you help write, the annoying factor?
You know, unfortunately, I think a lot of those characteristics come from what the other writers, you know, sort of see in my own personality.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully I'm a little bit cooler than that, but, like, definitely the oversharing and the, like, you know, constantly babbling, as you will see, on and on.
So they said,
I'm a little less of a teenager. I'm a little less teenager-y than that character is.
So they said, we need Kelly. She needs, and let's just look at Mindy. What's Mindy like? Okay, let's make a list. She talks too much. Good. She won't stop sharing. Good. She's awfully clingy.
Yeah. Now I'm, like, getting a little sad. I'm figuring all this straight.
You know,
we need a super hot Indian girl who's just totally gorgeous, off the charts cool.
Right.
You know about me.
You know, one of the great things about the about your version of The Office is you guys have really amped up the relationship factor of the people. And I for folks who don't know, I make that reference because, of course, you know, there was a British version of The Office too, and they didn't really focus on that nearly as much. I mean, on your show, you guys have really made so much of the Pam and Jim relationship that just keeps us on the edge of our seat. And now it's getting to the point where Ryan and Kelly, it's like that relationship is something we're really, really interested in, because you just see the pain on the poor boy's face every week, and we just wonder how much more can he take of you.
Well, you know, people say, and I think it's true, it's like people I think would like to think of themselves, Pam and Jim, you know, as like, these gorgeous, sensitive, funny, dry people. But in reality, you're either like a Ryan or a Kelly in a relationship.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true.
You're either like the one who like wants it to work out, or you're the one who's like, oh my God, this is just supposed to be a booty call, and now this turned out to be like this huge drama in my life, which I didn't want.
Exactly. So, now, if you're just joining us, we have Mindy Kaling on the line right now from TV's The Office tonight at 8:30 on NBC. Now, you wrote tonight's episode, correct?
Yes. Tonight's episode is called Diwali, which is a Hindu festival of lights. And Kelly brings The Office to the local Scranton Diwali festival. And Michael, of course, sort of makes a fool of himself. But there's some good stuff. There's a marriage proposal tonight.
Ooh.
I think I can tease you guys with that.
There's a marriage proposal?
Yes. There's a marriage proposal. There's some smooching. There's a little bit of drinking.
Well, you know how to write. Good work.
Oh, yeah. I only write like I'm on like a Heather Locklear show.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this because we had, what's the fine actor who plays Ryan? What's his name?
BJ Novak.
Yeah, BJ.
Yeah, we had him on the show last week talking about the episode that he wrote, which was great, the one about the sales call. How does it work on most shows? Don't all the writers kind of get together and write a show and, you know, add to, contribute to everybody else's work? It sounds like you guys write individually.
Yeah, every episode has a different person's name on it, like you get full credit, but, you know, some of my best jokes are in other episodes, and some of people's best jokes are in my episode tonight, so there's a lot of, like, contributions to each other's shows.
Is it a little weird to be a writer and then to be an actress, and in the middle of an episode somebody else wrote, you go, hey, you know what, I think this would work better, and then BJ says, you know what, I really think that would work better.
Oh, that's funny. Is it sort of, well... For me, it's just like, well, I'm just going to write myself huge parts in all my own episodes, pay off the other writers, make sure I appear in large quantities in their episodes.
Excellent.
Right.
I got it. One of our favorite episodes just happened recently. It was the dead bird funeral.
Oh, that's a wonderful episode, yeah.
Yeah, and I have a clip. This is Steve Carell talking about the bird that had died, and he's gathering the office together.
This bird is dead. He died alone. The least you can do is be there for him now.
It's okay. Shh. Yes, I know. It's been a tough day, but it's good to let it show.
I mean, how many times do I have to confirm plans with Ryan for him to know that we have a date tonight?
One of the great things about acting with Steve Carell is that he is so often the one that pisses people off.
Right.
That when my character is constantly like, sort of annoying him, he gets to sort of be like the straight man in a way.
Right.
And I love when you see Steve just being like, I cannot believe what an idiot this person is.
Yes.
So often it's the other way around.
You're absolutely right. That's awesome. The show's been great this year, Mindy. Seriously, congratulations. And we love that we're seeing more of your character. Do a new episode tonight at 8:30 on NBC. And we definitely urge you to tune in and support our new friend, Mindy Kaling. She has Kelly on the show. Hey, you're welcome. Seriously.
I can't tell you.
Thank you.
You're very cool. You're welcome anytime on the show, all right? Thank you.
Coming up in a minute, we have Borat Sagdiyev.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sagdiyev, yes.
I think that's how you say his last name. Borat is a reporter for Kazakhstan's state-owned television network. And while we wait for his call, I would like to tell you about an award that he's won.
Okay.
I didn't realize he was an award-winning journalist, but he's won the Kazakh Bronze Horse of News Reporting Award for his 2003 coverages of the reenactment of the August 15th Tyeznik Massacre.
Yeah.
In which our soldiers enter the Uzbek town of Tyeznik on August 15th every year and massacre them. It is very fun and I am proud, he says.
Yeah.
So he won an award for that reporting.
He also covers the yearly running of the Jew in Kazakhstan, when all the Kazakhs run from the giant Jew who chases them down the center of town. And then the big female Jew lays the Jew egg. And then all the children have to crush the Jew egg before it hatches.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems to me, Ralph, that Kazakhstan is so much fun. Why leave there and come to boring old America when you've got so much great homegrown fun? You know what I'm saying?
Because they love America. The Kazakhs love America, and he wanted to learn more about the culture and bring it back to Kazakhstan.
The film is called Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Borat himself. Good morning, Borat.
Angeles people.
Hello, Borat. How are you, my friend?
Very nice.
Are you calling us from Kazakhstan today?
Yes.
Okay.
I call from Almaty. We have a telephone.
You have a telephone.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
I have had over 25 conversations in my lifetime.
Over 25.
Wow.
Well, congratulations. Now, Borat, I'm glad that we got to speak with you today because your movie is ruffling a lot of people's feathers the wrong way. I guess you have seen by now that there has been a complaint filed against you in Germany. I guess you used to be a gypsy catcher. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, you were a gypsy catcher, and now I guess there's worries that your comedy may be violating Germany's anti-discrimination law. People are upset about you talking badly about gypsies now, and they're talking about suing you for it.
Yes, that is correct. In fact, I had problem beforehand because I won an award at the 2002 Kazakh Games for hitting a gypsy with a rock from 50 meters.
Yeah.
Which was particularly impressive because the gypsy was unchained.
Wow, an unchained gypsy. That's amazing.
Now, Abora, do you seem to get that response everywhere you go? It seems like a lot of people in America didn't know what to think of you.
Yes, there were some strange responses I got. I was surprised, for example, to learn that it is now illegal to shoot at Red Indians.
Yeah, yes,
and
you can't do that.
I would once again like to use this opportunity to apologize with all my heart to the staff at the Potawatomi Casino in Nevada.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, that's good.
do you find that most Americans are happy to meet someone from your country, or was it a little awkward trying to make conversation with us?
There is one scene in the movie film where I sing the national anthem at the rodeo in Virginia, and I do not know what happened, but these people then try to lynch me.
Yeah, I've seen the film Borat, and it's an excellent film, but I think the problem was there that you were singing the praises of Kazakhstan to the tune of the national anthem.
Yes, I think maybe this was a problem.
Yeah. Right.
Kazakhstan is the greatest country in the world, yeah, and all other countries are run by little girls.
Yeah, I think that might have been part of the problem.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now, Borat, here's the one thing I've always wanted to ask you, my friend, and I'm so glad that you're here today so that we can have this conversation. Do we have it wrong in our country, sir, with the way we treat our women? Do you think that we give them too much credit?
Yes, in my country, we're very different. I see you let women drive a car.
Yes, we
in
do.
In my country, we say to let a woman drive a car is like to let a monkey fly a plane. Very dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous.
We stopped letting monkeys do that ever since the Astana air crash of 2002.
Is that right?
Well, I think that was wise. Yeah.
Speaking of women, Bart, we heard about the passing of your wife. We just want to give you our condolences.
No problem. She was boring.
Okay. All right, then.
For instance, we do not have cages for our women in this country, and that must have been something for you to really have trouble getting used to.
No, yes, we do not.
It is very strange, because how do you stop them from running away? Do you chain them instead?
Well, no, we try to treat them with love, and then they try to treat us back with love.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I saw you on David Letterman. How was that appearance for you? Was that fun?
Yes, it was nice. And later in the show, I do some dancing with this pop star, Beck.
Yes.
Although it was, I must say, it was a great honor to dance with this little girl.
Beck isn't a girl at all, Bora. Beck is a boy.
What?
Borat, will you be spending more time in America, or are you happy and content to stay in your country now for a while?
I would like to come back to America. At the moment, there is a problem gaining entry because of sex crime.
What? Oh, really? What sex crime?
It is, let us just say that it has been resolved since I have proved that the horse was above the age of consent.
Oh, Borat, that's ugly.
Borat, if this film is a success, I'm sure they're going to ask you to make more films. I know one of your co-stars in this film is Pamela Anderson. Are there other actresses you'd like to work with in the future if you make more films?
She was not a star in the film, but she is in the film is about my journey to try and meet her and marry her.
Yes. Are there other celebrities in America you'd like to meet?
Yes, I would very much like to meet this singer, Madonna.
Uh-huh.
It is a great testament to freedom of your country that you have allowed this transvestite to become so popular. In my country, he would be in a circus.
It's not a he, Borat. It's actually a woman.
We say in this area, down in this area, it looked like there are two monkeys fighting in a hammock.
Well, you must be very careful. If you'll take some advice, Borat, be very careful if you get to meet Madonna, because she will try to adopt some of your children and grandchildren away from you.
Yes, this is why I have brought my grandson with me.
Good.
Your grandson?
I have brought my son, Bilak, who is 11 years old, his wife, and their new child.
Right.
That's great. We are hoping to sell to Madonna.
Okay. What are your other kids' names before we go? Because I'm curious.
I have three children, Bilak, Biram, and Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Borat, in our remaining moments, for maybe people who are listening who are not familiar with the great work you've done in journalism over the years, please explain to them why they need to go see your movie when it opens tomorrow.
My government have made it very clear that if this movie is not a success, I will be executed.
Wow. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's all the incentive I think we need. Yes.
That's some pressure.
And Borat, will you be covering once again the running of the Jew this year in Kazakhstan?
Yes, we have a ceremony each year called the Running of the Jew,
right,
where two Jews chase 1,000 very brave men down a street.
Well, I've seen the footage of that, and it's a remarkable event you have in your country.
Yes. Do you have one here?
No, well, no. We don't. We have the Running of the Bulls here, but it's very different.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. All right, we have just time for one last question, Borat. What is the biggest thing that you learned about America from being here?
I learned many things, for example, your system of democracy, because in my country, we do not have the man who has the most votes who wins, but it is the man who can suspend a car battery from his testes satchel for the longest.
His testes satchel.
I wish that we would adopt your system of government here. We couldn't do any worse. The film is called Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. It opens everywhere tomorrow. BoratMovie.com is the website. Borat, it's such a pleasure to have you back on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Okay. All right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean.
What do you do, nephew?
Yeah. A lot of people calling for Speed Racer, by the way. A lot of Speed Racer love.
As well, there should be, by the way. It's one of the best shows of all time. I'm very excited they're going to make a movie out of it.
Yes.
Here's what you get for being on the air with us today. A pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings taking on the Minnesota Wild, worst sports name ever, at Staples Center on Saturday, November the 11th. For tickets, please go to www.lakings.com. Also, we'll throw in a copy of the hot new movie, Thank You for Smoking, out now on DVD in stores everywhere. Chris in Cypress, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's happening? What'd it do, nephew?
Ralph needs to choke on the chips when he watches Speed Racer.
That's what I'm talking about. Shut the hell up about
all that crap.
Speed Racer, one of the greatest TV shows ever.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad show, but you need to shut up with the imitation of it, man.
No, man. You want to hear the theme? We got the theme.
No.
Yeah, I think we need a little Speed Racer theme. Wait a second. Yeah. Speed, like, running to the car. He jumps in, he guns the engine of the Mach 5.
Is he a superhero?
No, he's a race car driver.
So he can't start the car?
Yes, he can.
He does start the car.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
Okay, that's the dumbest.
Someone, we don't know who.
He's gonna be chasing after someone.
Because he's a race car driver, so he's gotta, you know.
Don't know who, but
whoever's in the lead, he's gonna be chasing him.
That's just stupid. That's just
good luck with Chris.
Wait, Chris called because he wanted to hear more about Speed Racer?
Exactly.
Okay. Chris is in the Kevin camp, and that is, don't need to hear about Speed Racer ever.
Speed. The plans for the Mach 5 are in the windshield.
Ever.
I think Speed Racer will be my new ending song of all the showbiz
beats. Not going to happen.
I think people have to come in with new lyrics first. Go Speed Racer.
Paco in Inglewood.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Inglewood in the house.
Yeah!
Hey, Ralph, what's going on, man? This is just coming from a place of love. I want to find out. I talked to my sister yesterday at my mom's house. She said, what's going on with Ralph, man? Is he PMSing? He's been bitching for like the last 3 days.
There's a lot of bad going on in the world right now, and I have to address it. Paco, it's not my fault. I just got to call him like I see him, man.
Paco, I can give you the answer to that. There is a lot of bad in the world, and the Philadelphia Eagles fall into that category.
Yeah.
Well, there are no Bears, you know.
I'm just saying.
No, they're not. Well, that's for
who
sure.
Is?
Yeah, I got a sore ass over the Eagles, that's for sure, but it doesn't mean this other stuff doesn't need to be talked about, man.
Well, Ralph, now that you got your rant out, is it going to be okay? Are you going to flush out all that bad stuff?
I don't know.
Until the Eagles game this weekend, yes.
Well, they got to buy this weekend.
Oh, they do.
So
okay, good.
But no, the world's got to straighten up, man, or else if they start being bad, I'm going to call them on it.
Griffith Park Observatory reservations.
Thanks for the call, Paco.
1-800-520-1067 if you want to get on What to Do Nephew. By the way, speaking of football, and I know our sports guy covered this in great detail earlier today, Patriots-Colts Sunday night? How awesome is that going to be?
Yeah. Huge game.
That's going to be
that's the game right there.
Or for Bean, I thought by a long shot, you'd be talking Raiders-Seahawks.
Well,
Go Raiders. Raiders-Seahawks. That is going to be so sweet.
Monday night, yeah.
I would be afraid if I was Bean, you know.
Why? Because all of our team is in the hospital.
Exactly. Awesome. Can you imagine what's going to happen to you if the Raiders beat the Seahawks?
Raiders fans, please be ready for the victory.
And by the way, the Raiders, for folks who haven't been paying attention, beat the current reigning Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Yes. So anything could happen in this crazy NFL.
They're two in a row. They're on a tear.
Marcel in Monrovia. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, I just had to call and tell you guys. I'm a delivery driver, and I see all kinds of crazy stuff when I'm driving.
Right, because you're up higher. You can look down into cars, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I'm driving. There's this chick next to me in her car at the stoplight. She got her flicking in. I find that
hard to believe.
If I could take pictures, I would.
She had a naked...
working over her boob.
Her naked boob.
Well, go on.
Did she see you watching her?
I was watching her for a minute. Then she seen me looking at her, and she kept on doing it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why she rules.
Wonder what her deal is.
And then she's just like, I'm just looking at her. I'm looking at her like, I don't know what to say. So I was like, hey, you know, just looking at her.
Marcel, did you actually follow her everywhere she drove that day just trying to get another look?
No, this just happened like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. That's so good. Women are good.
I was at the turning signal to turn, and she kept going straight, and I was just standing there for a minute like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see that every day. That's good.
I think she knew you were watching the whole time.
Sure.
She's just putting on a little show. Girls like to give on a show, yeah.
And girls that give out a show are good. Yep. We like them. Thank you for the call.
I've never seen anything like that. I always hate it when we get calls like that. I've never seen any girl doing anything in traffic with herself.
It's never happened to you?
Nope.
Arthur in Burbank. Good morning.
Hi. What it do, nephew?
What it do, Arthur?
A guy got kicked out of the gym by cops for grunting when he was lifting weights.
Is that a joke?
Psycho Mike?
Oh, no. This is on the news.
A guy got kicked out of the gym while he was lifting weights for grunting.
Yeah. The guy next to him called the cops, and the cops came in all serious, took him out.
They felt he was making too much noise?
Yeah.
Who would call the cops, and what gym would allow that?
I guess it's illegal in some gyms to actually make noise when you're...
No, it's not illegal.
See, Arthur.
Listen, he violated the no noise-making ordinances in gyms. Please.
Only silent weightlifting here, friend.
You're shaky. I'm sorry.
No, you apparently in some gyms it's illegal.
That's the best story ever.
The grunt.
It's illegal to make noise when you lift
weights. You've been to lots of gyms.
Yeah.
What's the story?
Well, you know, some gyms do have, like, the rules set up on the wall where they say, you know, excessive noise or vulgar language is not allowed. But obviously, you can't, you know, exert yourself physically without making some noise. It's ridiculous.
Maybe he was swearing.
You don't grunt, you blow out your O-ring, man.
Right.
You gotta be careful.
I mean,
exactly.
You gotta release yourself.
Right.
Exactly. Clench down, you're gonna pop.
All right. Let me thank all of our many guests in today's Kevin and Bean Show, including a very fine actress and writer, Mindy Kaling. She wrote tonight's new episode of The Office, Thursday night at 8:30 on NBC. Also, thanks to Evan Ose for joining us. He's the spokesperson for the Boarding House Mentors. BoardingHouseMentors.org is the website if you want to check out. Underprivileged inner city kids learn how to surf and snowboard. Take their mind off their trouble. It's a pretty cool deal. How about Borat on the show today, ladies and gentlemen?
Borat.
BoratMovie.com. And the film is called Borat Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. It opens everywhere tomorrow. And thanks to Barry Pepper, the equally hilarious Flags of Our Fathers, currently in theaters now, directed by Clint Eastwood. Go check that out as well.
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to Kerry Hart about the duel at the docks in Long Beach. We're going to talk to comedian Eddie Ift. We've got a new song from Brandon Davis called Lips of Glory. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Find out the latest.
What's the Hammer up to these days? We haven't talked to him in a while.
It's been a while, so we'll talk to him tomorrow and find out. We're going to talk to a CBS reporter about a report that they did on Dr. Pot. Apparently, a guy will just prescribe pot to anybody that pays him.
Really?
I mean, I got to find out where this guy is.
They got undercover footage that we'll hear from the reporter tomorrow of a woman going into this doctor saying, "My feet hurt because of my high heels. Can I get a pot prescription?" He says, "Sure, yeah, no problem."
It's probably got a doctor. You have to stuff it in your shoes, though.
And tomorrow, we're also going to talk about Cruz Bustamante. And does he really deserve votes because he lost weight?
Cruz Bustamante! I want to be insurance commissioner.
There's a commercial with him saying that he lost, 70 pounds?
Vote for me, I lost 70 pounds.
And why he sounds like Scarface. We'll find that out all out tomorrow morning.
Say hello to my little weight loss.
Cat is next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. New music from 30 Seconds to Mars. Also, Level is the latest from the Rockin' Tours. That's coming up. Nirvana, AFI, Killers, Puddle of Mud. It's all straight ahead right here on K-Rock.